This is going to be an interesting episode for people to be linked to.
I know.
Yes. Oh, my God. It is going to be.
Aaron, I want you to let me explain. I'm definitely explaining because now he's going to want to listen to this damn episode. Shit. One of our news items for this week is going to be the release of the announcement of the release of Mass Effect 2 on the PlayStation 3.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Back in January, we did a prediction show, and Jeff called it.
Hi.
He said there is going to be an announcement for a Mass Effect on PS3 this year, and he got like so much flack for that, and so many people were like making him bets,
mainly from me. I was like, no way.
And Travis decided that he was so sure that it wouldn't happen, that if it did, he would sing Lady Gaga on the show.
And which song? Yeah.
We let the listeners vote, and they voted on Poker Face. So.
So yeah. Your interview is it's on the episode where Travis gets the same poker face.
Nice.
I will call that out, actually. I will mention that.
Best episode ever.
Oh, God.
Oh, that's sweet. Great.
It's time for me to rock.
Hello and welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 142. My name is Christopher Kyo, and I am here, as always, with Mr. Travis Baum.
Hello.
And Mr. Jeff Chorney.
What up?
Today, we're going to have a special guest on for our feature. The question of the week that we mentioned last week is going to be postponed because we're going to be talking to Mr. Aaron Weber from Sega. We're going to be chatting up a storm about Valkyria Chronicles 2, because that's one game that I'm definitely excited for, and I'm hoping some of you guys are too, because the first one was fantastic. So before we get into some of that, we're going to do some distractions and news, and then afterwards we'll do new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week. But first we have to go around the table. Travis.
Yay.
How are you, buddy?
I'm doing fine. Nothing much really special going on aside from the fact just keeping up with the Indus business, you know.
It's serious Jason, business podcasting. It's,
you know it, man. Serious business. But Jason and I worked together last night, got a lot done with the Madden video, which should be out. Should be out by the time this episode releases. So when you hear this, you should be able to get on YouTube and check us out.
Madden Gras, that's really cool.
Madden Gras, man. We had a good fun making it, and hopefully you guys really, really enjoy watching it. We're going to have some really funny stuff in there. So,
Well, I'm just glad that you got a chance to go, man, because I know you were itching. So,
yeah, that was a big deal for me. But other than that, like I said, hanging around with Jason, we went to North River Tavern, did a lot of Indus Fest talk. Yeah, yeah. So that's set up for us for night one at the Deuce.
The Deuce.
And it's just sitting there. We're talking. We're like, man, I'm pumped about this place. I'm really excited. I mean, it's only a few months away and less than that. And I am just like so just ready to get the planning done with. It's like, Jason, I want everybody here right now. Like we even talked about that. I want everyone here right now. No waiting. Let's get into it. And we're talking about musical guests and all the possibilities we have to make this way better than the first one. So, guys, mark your calendars. Guys, first weekend in November, get ready, be pumped. And if you have not gotten this,
be insane.
Oh, we're going to have a good time. I'm so pumped. So, that's pretty much what's on my mind. I'm ready to go. Jeff, what is up with my bitch?
Not much. Oh, dude, what's up bitch. With your bitch? I made you my bitch. And
we'll get to that a little later.
I can't wait for our new segment. That's
we'll do it later.
Sure. I'm pretty sure there's going to be a pretty big effect on everyone on a massive scale. That, you know, everyone might want to listen to something.
I see what you did
more than once, maybe twice. And they might even want to put that on their PS3 and listen to it again.
And it might be very easily accessible for you to do so.
Maybe.
On iTunes for 99 cents.
That's right.
Hey, that's a good idea.
Oh,
but I don't know. A week's been good. Not too much been happening, you know. Work.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah. It's just I'm itching to get the whole thing with the tattoo thing going. It's been 2 weeks now, and it's getting antsy. And fuck, it sucks. But other than that, nothing.
How are your workouts, man? All three of us are on a plan. We're on a booster plan. We're holding each other up.
That's right. Yeah, so going well so far. This week's been pretty epic. Hopefully, my body can hang in there and keep going through.
It's the eating part that's the hardest.
Oh, just Saturday is my cheat day, no matter what. So
yeah,
yeah,
that's cool.
No workouts. Don't worry about what I eat. Whatever. But yeah, that's it, man. Chris, what about you?
Not a lot. I had a, I got a chance to finally hit happy hour again this week. It's been months since I've gone. So it was nice to actually, you know, leave work and just like go to the bar and relax for all of 20 minutes before I had to come home.
So you went to the tavern.
Yeah, I did go to the tavern.
Cool.
And, we should talk a little bit more about that. So let's, you know, you kind of brushed over it. Let's talk a little bit about IndusFest real quick. No new announcements, but, you know, November 5th and 6th, IndusFest, Atlanta, Georgia, you need to be here. Our list is growing. I think the number of people traveling is up to 40 or so.
Ooh.
And we've got more podcast network hosts that are going to be joining us from VG Evo.
Like who?
I think we've got a couple from the Game Crashers, and I know there's going to be at least one, probably two from the Goo.
Goo, yeah.
So yeah, I'm really hoping to hear from Gruul from on tap. I'm hoping he'll come down again. He's a fun guy. So maybe some of the PS Nation guys will come down. Who knows? You know, I'd love to see everybody, like a member from every podcast, but it's going to be hard for Down to 4DX to get over here. But you know,
no excuses. No excuses.
Repeat's coming from Australia, bitches. Come on,
Big Poot.
So yeah, I mean, we talked about North River Tavern. That's where we're going to be holding, the festivities on Friday. We will have a Rock Band on their big projection golf screen, which
will
be awesome.
Rock Band 3.
Yes, Rock Band 3 will be out by then. And we'll hopefully have, a really, you know, we're still working on the band, but if we get this band, it's going to be epic. So,
huge.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to that. And then Saturday at Battle and Brew, that's the plan. You know, it's the same thing we did last year and it worked out great for us. And, you know, we love the guys over at Battle and Brew and they love us back. So, we try and push them as much business as they can and they're helping us out with IndusFest. And, we're going to do a live show, streaming it online as well. And, yeah, it's going to be fun times, man. It's going to be fun times. Got some other little things planned that, you know, that they're not like the main piece of the event, but like, you know, we're going to be doing Friday lunch. We'll probably be doing a Thursday dinner if people are in town Thursday. And then, you know, I think we might actually do Saturday lunch at Sonic again. Travis, are we going to do that again?
I actually didn't want to do it this year.
You don't want to do that this year? All right, we'll figure something else out.
It's really hard for my crew and everything. Yeah,
yeah, I got you. That's cool. Yeah. We'll figure something else out then. But yeah, so November 5th and 6th. Get over to VG Evo, check out the topic we've got on there to get more details about hotel stay and stuff like that. You know, we found a real cheap hotel. If you guys need someone to stay with or you don't have a roommate for the hotel, just drop me a PM. I'll see if I can hook you up. But it's time to get those itineraries straight, man. It's less than 3 months away. Let's do it.
And we also were talking a little bit yesterday about t-shirt ideas. Pretty much the base idea that's flowing around Jason and Lisa's mind right now, what we would want to do. I don't know if you guys have talked to him about it yet, but the idea right now for the shirts that we're going to be giving to everybody, I'm just saying, they're pretty fucking cool. You're going to like them.
Well, the design last year was really cool too. So, I mean, I don't expect anything less from Lisa.
Yeah.
So she's a very creative person and her artistic skills are through the fucking roof. So
yeah,
you guys get out there. I mean, if you're going to make it, you got to let me know, because if you don't, we're not, swag is limited. So if we need to know that you're coming to get you a swag bag, just let us know. All right, that's it. Let's talk about some games.
Yeah.
Travis, go. What's distracting this week?
And moving on. This week.
Have you played anything else besides Madden, Travis?
I popped it off last year.
Is the Madden boner still riding hard?
Rock solid, man. Rock solid. You don't even know. randomly popped in Uncharted 2 just because before we started recording, I wanted to play something pretty. I don't know what came over me. I felt compelled to play just like wherever I left off months ago on my single player campaign on my second playthrough. I was like, wherever it leaves me, I'm going to pick up and play there. And it just messed around with that. And the game's always fun to play. I played a lot
of
Madden.
It doesn't get much prettier than Uncharted 2.
That's very true.
Seriously.
You played a lot of Madden. Let's see, who did I play with? Jack Bauer. I guess he rented the game.
Bauer, dude from England.
Football
to him is a much different sport.
He's
like, where's Man United? I don't know what accent that was, but terrible.
It's Canadian version of English. Is that what that was?
I guess. Yeah.
Okay.
So he was talking a lot of Yang and it challenged me, and I think I beat him. 63-7.
You let him score?
I'm so
disappointed in you.
I let him score first.
Is that like that false sense of security bullshit that you were throwing?
No, I honestly didn't let him. I mean, he doesn't end up scoring first. But yeah, he's got a little ways to go, but it was a valiant effort. And you know what? After it was done, he picked right back up and said, okay, who wants another piece? Who wants some of this? Like, he was right back up. But I said, don't feel bad. He's like, this is embarrassing. I said, don't feel bad. Now you know how we all feel every time we have to play Street Fighter with Jason.
That's right.
It's like it stops being fun. So I'm having issues with Madden, man. I still love the game. Let me get this out of the way. I still love this game. But without having a lot of people to play, you know, on a couch with me so I can kick their ass live, and you're stuck with playing online, you can't play as well as you can because of there's button lag and just the way the servers are set up. And the way it's just based on the two people's connection, you're never going to get a perfect, you know, feeling game as good as you can get when you're playing with someone on a couch.
I don't understand that. I mean, how can they perfect something that requires, I'm not going to say it's perfect because it's not, but how can they get something so close to being perfect as a fighting game where like all the motions and everything that you do with your combos are so specific.
You got to understand, though, those games, they're on a simple arena. To where the football games, you're getting the full feel of a single player game, but you're getting all the music, you're getting, you know, the stadiums are huge. So the games,
yeah, but the game assets are still on both sides. Yeah. It's just a reference code that goes across the net.
It's still a playable area. It's still smaller than any first person shooter.
Yeah. Well, this has been an issue since the PlayStation 2 days. It's never been fixed.
It's not just Madden. Like the 2K games for basketball are also the same way. Like when you play online, it automatically starts feeling slower, and there's a little bit of a button lag and everything.
Right.
The only sports game I can play online and say that there's virtually no lag is NHL. On EA Sport, or the EA one.
Right.
Every other sports game I get lag.
What's killing you about it, Travis? Because it sounds like this is the means to an end here.
Okay, well, the way I sit right now online is 4-4. That's my win-loss record.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. My main gripe with this, I should have easily won this game by kicking a field goal and winning. Field goals are easy. Especially a 30-yarder. If I was playing a single-player game or playing someone on a couch, I would have won that game. No questions asked. But just because of the fact that there's button lag and there's no way to perfect your style when there's button lag because you never know how bad the lag is at this point in the game that you're at.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So it's a crapshoot. You know, so I lost the game there. So technically, I was wide left. So technically, I should be, you know, 5-3. But here's the deal with that. Technically, on top of that, 5-3, I should be about 9-3, and this is why. And this is why I'm pissed off. And EA, man, I really wish you were listening right now because, okay, check this out. If I go up in the second quarter, 3 touchdowns, 4 touchdowns, it doesn't matter. All right, even if I'm losing, it doesn't matter. If one person quits before the second half, before halftime hits, if someone quits, I don't get a win at all. I get no win. They don't get a loss. They get a percentage knocked off on their do not finish percentage. And it pisses me off. I've had three people.
Do you get that percentage knocked off too?
No, I do not. They quit, so they get the percentage knocked off. But I do not. Even if I'm up 3 touchdowns, I could be up 30-0 and they rage quit before halftime. I get no benefit out of that based on my stats. Nothing. Zip. Zero.
That's kind of
shitty. And it pisses me off. So I should be about 9-3. About 9-3 right now, just because of the button lag and because of rage quitting. So my 4-4 record does not do my what I feel is my skills justice, and it pisses me off. And I really wish they focus on the online part of the portion of the game next year, because it is no fuck that. I hope they patch this shit. Okay, I understand you can't patch online infrastructure, but at least patch in the rage quitting. It's ridiculous, and it pisses me off. It almost kind of makes me want to DRX it, because
the least they can do is give you another stat.
It's re-fucking ridiculous. No, fuck another stat. Give me a win. I'm killing this fucker. I'm destroying him. I'm embarrassing him to the point.
Where he rage quits.
To where he rage quits. Give me my fucking win. It's bullshit. And it pisses me off. I'm sorry. My win-loss record is a big deal to me in Madden. It is a big deal. And I look like a fucking douche right now online, because I can't finish my game because these fuckers can't take a loss. So it pisses me off. Anyway, that's all I've been fucking playing, Jeff.
That's how you really feel, Travis.
Yeah, seriously.
Let it all out, buddy. This is your vent time.
Go beat on Hatman. It'll make you feel better. Go lay the smack down on him. Oh, man, what I'm playing. I actually played Rock Band the last couple of days.
Sweet.
Really?
Yeah, okay, I was cool. Because I was like, woke up one morning, and I'm like, I was way too tired to do my workout in the morning. So I'm like, hey, I'll do it when I get home from work. And I'm like, well, I need to do something. And I didn't want to just fucking do some kind of cardio running on the spot BS, whatever. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to just throw in Rock Band on drums and put it on expert and just put no fail mode on and set it to like a 6-song set list.
That would
just
like,
go crazy.
You're like Animal from fucking...
It works, man. When you haven't done the drums on that thing in a while, man, it built up a good sweat for sure.
I believe That's it, man. Awesome. I believe it. That and DDR, man. You're going to lose at least 200-300 calories.
Sure. I've actually threw in some Unreal Tournament 3, too.
What?
I don't know why. I just had a feeling. I just threw it in there for PS3. Of course, Super Street Fighter.
You just wanted to play a game that looks pretty?
Unreal 3 just doesn't look that good.
No.
No. No. Batman Arkham Asylum does, though, and I played a little
Ooh,
bit of that.
Yeah.
Little more Castlevania. I need
Sweet.
To play more of that still, man. Chris,
dude, we need to hook up and play some multiplayer, dude.
Yeah, because I've only played like not too much. I'm only on the fourth chapter, I think.
All right.
I think the last thing I did is beat that the third boss.
Let's pick a time next week and we'll get together and we'll jump on and play it.
All right. Yeah.
Because
sure.
I haven't even finished the normal mode yet. I'm still on chapter 6. I haven't even played chapter 6 yet. So
yeah.
Yeah. We can get on that.
We need to.
Yeah.
A little bit. I tried Scott Pilgrim again. Because I'm like, everyone, like, there's a lot of people who do speak
Dude, we got
about
so
that
much
game.
Flack for that shit.
Yeah,
last
yeah
week,
I saw
man.
That.
Yeah, I know. And you know what? I've just come to the conclusion that, I'm sorry to say, that's just a bad game. I don't care how much they're trying to throw it back to nostalgia, but a lot of nostalgia is just that, nostalgia, and games that you thought were awesome and played awesome really didn't.
Yeah.
So, and I think they're trying to emulate that too much to the point of, I don't know. It's like, games evolve, people's tastes in games evolve, and the standard for what I'm not talking like the game type itself. I'm talking about the actual gameplay. This is not, I don't know, just doesn't cut it, especially if you're not going to have online co-op with
well,
a game.
Well, see, that's the thing. I think the actual combat is pretty cool. I mean, the number of moves you get and stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's some mechanics in the game that need to be worked on. And
yeah, exactly.
It doesn't make any sense for the difficulty curve to be the way it is in that game, because it starts out really fucking hard. And then as you progress, it gets really fucking easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't want to beat like the dead horse or anything, but I'm in the conclusion I don't think I will get that game. I know I probably will buy it, and I will not play it.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I still think it's a great game. I still think the aesthetics are fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, when it comes to beat 'em up games, you know, and I can't even believe we didn't mention this yet last week. Mm-hmm. When it comes to beat 'em up games, fucking Dungeon Fighter Online, man. Come on.
Loot.
That is probably the best one that I've played in the recent, you know, history of beat 'em ups, I guess.
Right.
You know.
Agreed.
Yeah. No, I went back. Like, I want to be like, well, maybe it's just me because a lot of people seem to like it. And I threw in my Sega Genesis collection and played a little bit of Streets of Rage and Golden Axe and games that were beat 'em ups back then. I'm sorry. I feel like those games play better.
Yeah.
They are that much older.
Golden
so,
Axe is really
whatever.
Good.
It's not my thing, I guess. It was better than Alien Storm, though, even though Alien Storm does play a lot like similar to Golden Axe, but something about that game just does, I don't know.
Yeah.
Do you guys play that game? It's not that good.
I didn't actually, no.
Anywho, Game that is good that surprised the hell out of me is the Lara Croft one, the Xbox Live Arcade game.
I need to re-download. I need to download this demo.
Game is good.
Holler at me, dude. Speak at me.
It is big. First of all, it's big. It's like 2-point-something gig. So
wow.
It didn't. It did not feel good at E3 when I played.
No.
Did not. It just did not feel good. Everyone is talking about it. It's getting really good reviews.
I think it feels great.
I mean, I'm gonna download it again and give it a shot.
It's really smooth. Everything like when you're pushing around stuff, it's really fast. It's not like the typical, like, oh, now you're pushing on this big boulder, so she's going to move all slow. She still moves quickly, and you can really move at, like, different angles on the fly and stuff. And just, like, and going to, when you're shooting your guns, it's like a twin-stick shooter for the most part. And there's some good platforming and some kind of platforming stuff in that type of game. Like, it's a isometric view. So it's similar to, like, something like Diablo or, like, the Baldur's Gate games or whatever.
Yeah.
The ones that are on consoles, anyway. And yeah, like you do stuff like grappling onto stuff and running on walls and stuff that I've never seen in a game like that before. And just little stuff like that. Like it actually feels like Tomb Raider, but it's not at all like Tomb Raider, if that makes sense.
Well,
it's
like to clarify, in terms of like the way that thing's named, this isn't a Tomb Raider game, right? This is a Lara Croft game, right?
It's Lara Croft, but it may as well be Tomb Raider. There's nothing really.
But the point I'm trying to make is what I'm trying to go. Is
you're raiding tombs.
How many like characters can, you know, start off in a video game, you know, that has a specific title and then branch off and have a title of their own by just using their name? Like, you know,
I think quite a few could.
I don't know, really? I mean, Uncharted 2 sells way more than Tomb Raider, but do you think you could put Nathan Drake Adventures, you know, in an arcade game and really everybody?
No, I don't think Nathan. No, I don't think that would work. No.
Exactly. So I mean, that Lara Croft name is really.
Oh, it's huge. It's huge. It's bigger than Tomb Raider.
Like, yeah, exactly.
People know
absolutely.
Who Lara Croft is, and they know who Tomb Raider is.
Right.
Sure.
Yeah. Like, right.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Well, I mean, who do you think of when you think of Lara Croft? I mean, who do you envision?
Because
I envision fucking Angelina Jolie.
I don't, and I'm so happy I don't.
No,
I'm not a big fan of her. No.
So, Did you see in England they named a street Lara Croft Way, and there's actually a statue of her in England, like commemorating the street. It's really interesting, oddly crazy. Sexy. Yes. Anyway, go ahead. Games.
Back to the game, but yeah, the production value is great. Like I haven't seen an Xbox Live Arcade game or downloadable game with this kind of production value since probably Shadow Complex. Like it's really like the cutscenes are done really well, the voice acting's done really well. Like I said, the animation is great. The game looks good. It sounds good. I haven't really come across anything negative to say quite yet because I'm not too far in. I'm a little bit on this, almost on the second area, I think, that you play in. But I hit a hard part where I was getting my ass kicked by a bunch of like beasts. But I think that's just my fault for just going to a certain area where I shouldn't have. But anywho, co-op, haven't tried it yet. Apparently it's awesome. The bad news is co-op doesn't get actually put in the game like online until like the end of September.
Oof.
And that's when the PS3 version is coming out, the PSN version.
Right.
So when the PSN version comes out, that's when they're going to release the patch for the 360, the Xbox Live Arcade.
That's when I'm going to get it.
Yeah, but you can still get it. I mean, you can still play it couch co-op. So Tanya and I are going to play through it. So that's
okay, cool.
Fun. What else have we been playing? But yeah, definitely check it out. Definitely download the trial. There's another game I have been playing, but I can't really talk about it just because NDA, but Spec Ops The Line beta.
All right.
Can't really say anything about that yet.
Okay.
But it is a game.
It is a game.
It exists in this plane of existence.
Yes.
It's on a system.
It is on a console. There are guns.
Oh really?
Bought.
Cool.
Chris,
A plus.
What's been distracting you?
All right. Well, you know, Castlevania. A little bit more of that, but we talked about that a bit. I played the. We're going to be talking about it a little bit later, anyway. So might as well mention it now. But Valkyria Chronicles 2. Played the demo a few more times. I can't wait to play it. I can't wait to get it. I really can't. It's the demo. I played it 3 times now, and I just kept trying. I strived and strived until I got it in one turn. So I beat the demo in one turn, but I couldn't take out the tank, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Anyway, there's another Sega demo that came out on Tuesday, and that would be for Phantasy Star Portable 2. And everybody knows how big a fan of Phantasy Star I am. So I downloaded that. I probably put about 3 hours into that demo already. Loving the shit out of it. It's much more difficult than the first one, which I appreciate, actually. Because they, you know, the guys from PS0 helped out, and they, you know, there's a dodge and a block mechanic now, and you can actually get shields and shit like that. And, you know, it wasn't just something that they just tacked on there. You know, it's, you really have to make use of those two mechanics, and to progress in the game, especially if the enemies are about the same level as you, because they, you know, they attack much faster and they hit harder. And, you know, in the first Phantasy Star Portable, I was able to walk into a mission that had a level 10 boss as level 1. And by the time I got to the end of the level, I was like level 5. And then I'd fight this level 10 boss and I'd easily win. Same situation. And I walked into the boss and he kicked my fucking ass. So definitely much more challenge in this one. So I'm really looking forward to that. There's a new class too, that basically it's like a jack of all trades class. So that's going to be interesting to play around with. So looking forward to that. That comes out 2 weeks after Valkyria Chronicles. So I'm going to have a very Sega month next month, it looks like. Let's see what else. That's about it. I got to mention this just because I find it funny. Galcon got released for Android.
Galcon.
Have you played
that's
Galcon?
Like, that's like Risk in Space.
It's like,
right?
Risk in Space, yeah.
Oh, man.
So, tribute to Scott Sauer, have you played Galcon? It is now on the Android platform. It's $3, and I only played it for about 15 minutes, but it's actually pretty fun. It's my particular phone. It's got a little bit of a performance issue, but I hear on pretty much all the other phones, it's pretty slick, so...
Right.
Yeah, there you go. $3 on Android. Check it out. That's all I've got.
All right.
Should we jump into some news?
Sure.
I think Jeff should go first.
No, I think I should go last.
You think Jeff should go last? You want to save the best for last?
Yeah, I may as well.
Let's savor in the flavor.
I mean, technically, we already knew about this news in January. We're just going to revisit it.
Jeff confirmed it in January.
Wait a minute. You knew the whole time? You
cheater.
Cheating bastard. So who's your source?
Anyway, definitely.
Did you guys hear that No More Heroes for PS3 is coming to America?
It's coming. I did.
That's pretty awesome. And it's going to have move support.
I have no excuse.
Well, that I couldn't give a shit about.
Actually,
fuck that, dude. That game would be great with move support.
I think it's interesting. I think
Jeff, support move.
The thing is that it's you know, exactly what it is on Wii, except it looks better, you know?
Yeah.
So the people that, see, now you have best of both worlds. You can play it with a regular controller, and if you want to play with the motion control that the Wii had, you've got that option too. So, I mean, I actually think it's a good idea to have both in there. That's slick, you know, way to go on them. And Konami's bringing it out.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's my news. Oh yeah, Lords of Shadow has a release date. Was it October 5th?
Yeah, woop,
woop, for the win.
Good hype.
And finally, guys, something that comes out in 2010.
You guys saw those videos, right?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
It's pretty fucking sexy, isn't it?
It's pretty smexy, man. I like it. I'm feeling.
I always
it.
Want to play God of War with a Belmont skin.
With a whip. With a whip.
I'm kidding. It does look freaking awesome.
It does. It does.
It's really cool.
It still has a little bit of that Vaseline look to it, though. It's still got a little bit of shiny, but I'm okay with it. It still looks great.
It's gloss, man. Don't want a little gloss.
Yeah, I like glossy fur. That works for me.
Who doesn't? Well, I have a little bit of news. The PSP2. The rumor has it that the successor to the PSP. And this has been in speculation for a long, long time. But it seems that some developers, I mean, Engadget has some valid sources that say that some developers already have their hands on the PSP2 tech. And what it seems to have, it's about the size of a PSP 3000 model. And supposedly on the back of the PSP, of the system, you have, touch sensitive pads that seem to be, you know, I guess your substitute for an analog stick. We were talking about it earlier on the show, and Jeff was kind of like, oh, I don't know. But I'm thinking of – and I put my PSP in my hands, and I kind of like, you know, envision these, you know, touch-sensitive pads on the back. And like, if they can get that tech to work, you could have some really, really interesting, substitutions for analog NUMs on the back. I mean, hold your PSP and picture controlling that. It can work. For me as Travis, a shooter fan, I really think it could work.
Travis, have you ever heard of the Turbo Touch 360? Have you ever heard of that controller that was out for the Genesis and the Super NES? It was ass, and it had the touch sensitive
controls. No, that's
I'm sure that they've made some advancements since then, but I am very skeptical. I mean, I'm giving this a big who gives a shit until I see it work.
I don't know, man. I mean, you have you have companies right now. You have ID. Oh, ID. You have ID Software, who is
you have driver's license. Sorry.
Yeah. Fuck you. They have ID Software. They're already talking about putting Rage. Is that what it's called?
Yeah,
on the iPhone. And
doesn't mean
the videos they showed looked really, really good. But if they are going to go forth with that venture, especially with a game like Rage, I mean. It has to be – I mean, it's probably like, I don't know, 8 months to a year away, but there has to be some sort of, you know –
Have you tried playing a game on the iPhone that uses
– But this is not the iPhone. You're not playing it with your fingers on the front screen. You have the whole front screen that you're looking at with your fingers not in the way. You're controlling it on the back.
It has nothing to do with your fingers being in the way,
though. I'm not talking about being in the way. I'm talking about the responsiveness and the actual control of it.
Yeah.
It's crap. Unless they cheat it, where
I'm
it's like,
still
like,
in the believe it when I see it mode. I want to see it work. I don't believe it. I don't think it's going to work very well.
I was like, when I was holding my PSP, I was like, man, this like I could just picture playing a game with the analogs on the back, and I just think it would work. I don't know. That's just me.
All right. Whatever works for you, brother.
Look, if it's going to be on the PSP2, like they're thinking of going forth. And if this rumor is gonna end up being true, and they're going forth with this, and developers already have their hands on it, Sony must think it works somewhat. I mean,
it's
got to be further along.
A lot of the percentage out there of people that think it'll work is very similar to this podcast right now. 2 out of 3 people are probably going to be very skeptical about the way it controls.
Yeah. Look, if this was the PSP. PSP Touch, like still original PSP, but another variation, like your Go, and or maybe another variation from the 2 to the 300, anything like that, then I would be skeptical. But if Sony's looking to have the next generation of their handheld console be this, that's why I'm thinking, okay, this must work pretty good if this is where they're taking the next step. You know, this isn't just a sidestep on, hey, this is another original PSP.
Believe it when I see it.
Yeah, well...
Sticking to that.
I bet you guys it'll be awesome.
Oh, I thought you said you weren't going to bet anymore.
Exactly. What exactly do you want to bet?
Speaking of that, Jeff.
That being said.
Tell us your news, man.
Well, Castle Crashers got a release date for PSN coming out.
All right. Well, after the break, we're going to...
Another one. What is it?
There was something important. Announced.
Something
got announced for PS3. It was something big for Sony.
You know what? I want Travis to say it. Actually, Travis, what got announced for PS3 this week? It's going to be coming out in January.
Yes, Jeff was correct. That lucky bastard, Mass Effect was announced. Mass Effect 2 was announced for the PlayStation 3.
And for those who have joined us, have joined this podcast listening after January of this year, that was one of Jeff's big predictions on our prediction show, and everybody gave him shit about it.
Most people, yeah.
Yeah. I think I was one of the few people that didn't bet you something on that one.
Yeah, it was like 3. I actually lost one of the bets, though, because it is coming out in January, not this year. So
right,
Kill9.
Right. That was Kill9.
Glenn
right,
from Expletive Deleted. I lost that one. But the other two, they won. And I was scared. I'm not going to lie. But the thing is, usually I wouldn't be the kind of person to make a big deal of it. But I heard it every single day almost. Like, oh, Mass Effect 2, like the thread thing. Like,
dude,
not
there was
happen,
a topic up there.
Yeah, I know. You I'm like, yeah. You know what? When
on
this freaking happens,
on VG Evo, there was a topic called the Mass Effect bet.
It yeah. was a poll.
It was a poll.
It was more than a topic. And the majority said that, no, it was not going to happen.
That's right. And now that majority is eating some humble pie.
That's exactly. It's more of the way they said. Like, if they said, no, I don't think so, it's more like, yeah, there's no way in hell this is happening, Jeff. There's no way you're gonna have to pay so many people money, buy so many games from so many people, and like I'm just like, oh, this needs to happen so bad. When Travis was here, when E3 was going on, I'm like, hey, so how are you gonna feel when Mass Effect 2 gets Master PS3 while you're here?
He's like, I was like, I'm gonna throw you off the balcony. That's what's
gonna happen. It didn't happen. I'm like, son of a bitch.
I don't think Tanya would be very appreciative of that.
Now he would have landed in the herd of moose. He would pounced right off.
But no, it's coming, man. January.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I'm excited, man. Finally, the PS3 only owners will get to know the glory of the Mass
Effect.
And
some people are making a big deal, like, well, they don't get the first one, so it's like, you know, you don't really need the first one. Like, yes, it's better to have the first one to carry your save over. Sorry, pardon me. But you can still enjoy the second game without playing the first. I'm sure
they do
a
pretty good job of filling you in
on
some of the events that really matter in the first one.
They're adding a special intro to the game as well, though, to still catch people up from what happened in the first game.
Oh, good. That's good.
Yes, they are doing that.
Yeah, because I have a feeling that there's no way the first one's coming out.
Right.
Microsoft
no, it's not. Well, Microsoft came out, like, the day it was announced, they came out and said, listen, Mass Effect 1 is not coming out at all. It's staying exclusive to Microsoft. And I have a feeling it is because they have the publishing rights for whatever, whatnot. But other companies have got around that. So, Team Ninja and stuff. So
I wouldn't be surprised if there's, like, a new announcement of this, like, this remake of Mass Effect Delta or something like that, where it's like
the Genesis one or whatever. Oh, you're saying like just hypothetically?
Right, hypothetically. If that there's I have a feeling that they might end up finding a way around it, but
they might.
Mass Effect in its original form that's on the 360 will not come to the PS3.
Yeah,
it'll have to be changed up somehow.
BioWare is really close to Microsoft. They always have been, even before, like, way before they joined EA. Like, they're pretty much a Microsoft and PC exclusive developer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't want to burn that bridge.
Yeah, and I think when they got picked up by EA, they probably worked out some deal. Like, listen, like, EA wants to do this. We want to do it. I'm sure they wouldn't not want to do it. I mean, well, turn down money. But they probably said, listen, like, you know, Microsoft sucks, but hey, we won't do the first one. They're like, okay, whatever. Yeah. And it pretty much paves the way for 3. It's pretty much guaranteed to be multi-platform.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Right.
Whether or not Microsoft's going to try to shell out maybe some kind of incentive to keep it timed exclusive.
Timed exclusive or something like that. Or maybe specific DLC, like maybe what was it called? The Cerberus Network. Maybe they'll have an equivalent of a Cerberus Network that's only on 360 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Who knows? Yeah.
Well, that all being said, back to the bet.
Travis, you lost that bet.
Yeah.
What did you have to do?
Buy Jeff a game.
You'd like that to be what it is now, wouldn't you?
And then, yeah, exactly. No, we have a special treat for people coming up on break.
Yeah, so apparently, allegedly, I don't know who's in, but allegedly, I had said that if I lost the bet, I was so sure that I was going to win this bet that I had allegedly
said that. I think this was after
E3
when you made this decision, I think.
That I was going to sing Lady Gaga on the show if I lost the bet. I don't know where this rumor came up, but
this
I was like,
epic.
Okay, well, I might as well. Anyway, yeah, so as a man of my word, I fulfilled my part of the bargain. So I guess you guys are going to hear it in a few minutes.
That's correct.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, people out there with PS3, you should pick up this game. And I know most games that are timed exclusive, when they get, you know, finally ported over, they usually don't sell well at all. I mean, BioShock, that sold like poop on the PS3.
Yeah.
It's a good game. Mass Effect 2 is a really good game. Don't worry. You do not need the first one to enjoy the second one at all. You should.
PS3 only owners, I'm going to say this. We are now in August, and Mass Effect came out when? Was it January, February, January? Mm-hmm. It is still my game of the year. And it is still at the top of my game of the year list right now.
Pretty much there as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, check it. And check. Oh, do we get to listen to it on break too?
We don't have to. I was hoping not to.
I want to humiliate it while it's going on, man.
Oh, shit. All right. Well, with that said, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to...
Keep that poker face on.
When we come back, we're going to talk about some Valkyria Chronicles 2 with Mr. Aaron Weber from Sega. And after that, we'll do some new releases, some listener email, and a new question of the week. So stay with us, and we'll be right back.
Oh, enjoy the love game.
Please kill me now.
It's time to wake up.
All right, I guess it's time to pay my fucking debt to Jeff. You guys have got to know that I would do this only for you. So, yeah, this is what gambling gets you. I wanna hold 'em like they do in Texas, please. Fold 'em, let me hit it, raise it, baby, stay with me.
I love it.
Luck and intuition, play the cards with spades of stars. And after he's been hooked, I'll play the one that's on his heart. Oh, 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 oh. I'll get him hot, show him what I've got. Oh, 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 oh. I'll get him high, show him what I've got. Carry my, no, he can't read my poker face.
She ain't got to love nobody.
Carry my, no, he can't read my poker face.
She ain't gotta love nobody.
Poker face, poker face. Poker face, poker face. I wanna roll with him, a hard pair we will be. A little gambling is fun when you're with me. Russian roulette is not the same without a gun. And baby, when it's love, it's not rough, it isn't fun. Oh, 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 oh. I'll get him hot, show him what I've got. Oh, 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 oh. I'll get him hot, show him what I've got. Carry my, no, he can't read my poker face.
She ain't got to love nobody.
Carry my, no, he can't read my poker face.
She ain't got to love nobody.
Poker face, poker face. Poker face, poker face. I won't tell you that I love you, kiss or hug you, cause I'm bluffing with my muffin. I'm not lying, I'm just stunning with my bluff gunning. Just like a chick in the casino, take your bank before I pay you. I promise this, check this hand because I'm carried my, no, you can't read my poker face.
She ain't got to love nobody.
Carried my, no, you can't read my poker face.
She ain't got to love nobody.
Carry my, no, you can't read my poker face.
I really, really hate you, Chorney.
Carry my, no, you can't read my poker face.
Serious, guys, please stop laughing.
Carry my, no, you can't read my poker face.
She ain't got to love nobody.
Carry my, no, you can't read my poker face.
She ain't got to love nobody.
Poker face, poker face. Poker face,
she ain't got to love nobody.
Poker face, poker face. Poker face, poker face. Poker face. Poker face, poker face. Oh my god, I'm never, ever fucking betting anything ever again, ever.
And welcome back.
You welcome back.
Thank you, Jeff. Today, we have a special guest on with us, Mr. Aaron Weber from Sega. How you doing, Aaron?
Hey, guys. Doing good. Thank you.
And you are the community manager for Valkyria Chronicles 2, as well as some other Sega titles. Is that correct?
That is.
Well, why don't you give us a little rundown about what you do for Sega and, tell us a little bit about the game.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So as a community manager, my role is essentially the middleman between the fans and Sega as a company. So a lot of it is telling the fans what the company's doing and conversely telling the company how the fans are reacting, what the fans want to see. So it's kind of an interesting position where we see a lot of the stuff inside that goes on at the company. We help shape that and give feedback so that people can make decisions that the community will enjoy or will be happy with. The game itself, Valkyria Chronicles 2, is the sequel to the original Valkyria Chronicles, which is a PS3 exclusive. The game is probably one of the best RPGs, at least the series as a whole, that I've played in a very long time. It's made by some of the people that made another game on the Dreamcast originally, which some people might be familiar with, and it was called Skies of Arcadia. So anyone that likes that game or likewise enjoyed some of the Sakura Taizen games, I don't know if anyone that listens has imported certain games, but those two teams essentially merged, and they are the team that made the original Valkyria Chronicles and then likewise went on to make the sequel. So you have a pretty amazing team of people that have worked on RPGs that are making the game. They put a lot of love into it, and it certainly shows. So this game is a PSP exclusive. I know a lot of people at first were wondering, why isn't it on PS3? Is it going to be as good as the original because you're going to hardware that obviously isn't as powerful? And I was really, really pleased when I played through a lot of it, both in Japanese and in English, to see that not only have they managed to really maintain what the game is about, but also to make it even better. We'll get to that, I think, a little bit later on, but that's sort of Valkyria Chronicles 2 in a nutshell. The game is an RPG, but it's sort of a hybrid. So it's like an RPG that also has certain first-person shooter elements, and it's also got certain combat elements that draw from a lot of games. It almost reminds me of like virtual chess in some ways when you're positioning your units on the map. But that's the basics of the game.
Okay, well, we'll get into more detail in a bit. Yeah, you mentioned Skies of Arcadia, and it was actually a nice little touch for me when I got to play the first one, and I got to use a couple of the characters from Skies of Arcadia because a little background about me. I'm huge into RPGs, I always have been, and Skies of Arcadia is probably my favorite RPG of all time. I just loved everything about it. I loved the style, I loved the characters, and I loved the airship combat. I thought it was great. So when Valkyria Chronicles came out and I heard it was by the same team, I was more than intrigued by it. So
awesome.
Yeah. Well, first thing I was going to get out of the way, and this is from a friend of mine. His name's Light Edge. His online name is Light Edge. And he said he doesn't actually have any questions for you, but he said he's glad to see Sega of America is bringing this out, as well as Phantasy Star Portable 2 and Yakuza 4. And in parentheses, he said, with nothing cut out this time.
Agreed.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm with him on that. I'm excited to see that they're bringing out, some of these high profile Japanese titles that, might be a little bit more niche in America, but, definitely something that.
Totally. And let your friend know, too, that we are taking great pains with Yakuza 4, especially to try and make sure that either as little or no content is cut, pretty much as little as possible, because certainly after Yakuza 3, there was obviously a lot of people that were, I think very rightfully so, a little upset about the cut content. And so we're really doing the best we can with Yakuza 4 to turn that all around and to give fans everything.
Cool.
So that's a slight tangent, but for him, yeah.
And there was a report recently that Yakuza was actually like reviewed by an actual Yakuza in Japan.
Actual members. Yeah. Yeah. I saw that.
That was really cool to see. It's like, and he actually said it was relatively, accurate. And that was pretty surprising.
Yeah, it was pretty neat. I like that article.
Cool. Well, let's get into it. Colonel Satan has something to say. He actually was wondering if you guys were satisfied with the overall performance of the original Valkyria Chronicles game.
I think at first, Valkyria Chronicles didn't sell quite as well as everyone was kind of hoping it did.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really interesting because Valkyria had something happen to it that I can't really think of any other games that have had this, but it was about, I think at that point, almost 6 months to a year after release, if not a little bit longer. And this was last year when actually we put the DLC out and, we announced to people that we've got DLC coming, and there was a lot of really strong fan sentiment around the game, and people knew that the game, didn't sell super well. But a lot of people realized how amazing the game was, and so they were telling their friends, like, pick the game up, you should really support it. I think at that point, too, a lot of people were wanting to see a sequel, and they kind of knew that, you know, with games, if it's a new IP and the first one doesn't do very well, that doesn't generally help the potential for a sequel.
Right.
So there was all this sentiment from the fans about, like, we need to support the game because it's truly amazing. But it was a PS3 game, you know, and so not everyone had PS3s, and just at that time, it just wasn't, like, the perfect setting. And it was really interesting because as we started pushing the DLC content and hyping that up and starting to talk about that, there was the fan sentiment that was tying into that directly. And then at the same time, there was a special sale that went on where the game actually dropped to $20 for a limited time. And the game pretty much sold like hotcakes at that point. And that's the really interesting thing about it. And I put a blog up actually when this happened because it was so weird. And everyone, I think, that saw it in the industry kind of looked at it and cocked their head a little bit and said, what? Because the numbers for Valkyria Chronicles, almost like a year after it had released, in that 1 month when the DLC came out, spiked back and almost eclipsed the original launch numbers, which never happens. Never happens.
I knew it did well. I didn't realize it did that well.
Yeah, it was fantastic. And so everyone suddenly was going, what happened here? And I think it was just a great case of, you know, the right sentiment being there, really pushing for it. And, you know, kind of the hype from the blogs and finally that sale that pushed people to say, you know what, it's $20. Everyone says it's an amazing game. All right, I'll go check it out. And that was a really special moment for us. And I think people were very pleased when that happened because it certainly did spike the numbers up quite a bit. So
cool. Yeah, I guess it helps that it was critically acclaimed by pretty much every major review site out there too.
It is. It's actually, we got a Guinness World Record for it at E3. Actually, it's the highest rated strategy game on the PS3, I believe. So
some of those Guinness records trip me out, but some of them are really freaky. The ones that they do, I mean, highest rated game is not one of the ones that are weird, but they had some, like at E3, they were talking about some of them and some of them just like, really, there's a record for that. But, all right. So about the second one, you know, you kind of touched on it, but what was the driving factor to put it on the PSP rather than the PS3?
And I don't know all of the driving factors behind it, but I do know at least a few of them. In Japan, at least, the PSP obviously is huge,
right.
Really big over there. And it, pretty much, you know, a lot of the games that are good quality games will sell really well on the PSP. Phantasy Star Portable had huge success in Japan. The original game did. And so I think part of it was to try and put the game out on the PSP, which kind of gets it out to a younger market, but also opens it up to an older market. So in that case, you broaden the fan base by putting a game out on the PSP. And I think that was probably one half of the coin in terms of why they put it out on PSP. And that might have been actually one of the biggest factors, too. I don't know completely if the sales of the first game at that point had really come into play. It's worth noting, too, that in Japan, actually, the sales, whenever our version of Valkyria picked up here in the West, they actually had the same thing happen in Japan. Because it was on part of their, like, the best list,
right.
Means that it becomes part of the, like, their platinum hits, essentially. And and it actually jumped up, I think, to one of the top-selling games in Japan as well. It was really kind of weird how it happened at the same time. So I don't know if the sales of the game worldwide actually affected that too much, but I think it was more so about putting the game out on a platform that was readily available to a lot of people and that would also expand the fan base.
Cool. All right. Well, that makes sense. But, you know, with the PSP, was there ever any, you know, worry from Sega about the piracy problem that's on the PSP?
Personally, there's a bit of worry from me, but that's just a personal thing, I guess. my only concern with it, you know, is that obviously it's a pretty big thing, you know, and it happens, and that's just a fact of life. And I think some companies deal with it in the entirely wrong way with DRM that is super strict, you know, and stuff like goes out on PC all the time, obviously not PSP related, but there's a lot of stuff to try and combat that is just really too constricting. But then likewise, you also, like, you look at it and you see great games that deserve to have, you know, a lot of support, that lose tons of sales that would potentially be going right back to support the next game in the series,
right,
that die out because of that. So it's an interesting kind of conundrum that you find with it. I think Valve actually is a good example of people that understand that when you look at it, I think pirates really in this sense are just potential customers and potential people that would support your game. It's just a matter of kind of convincing them and showing them, like, this game is amazing, please support it, and getting them to that point. And I'm really hopeful that with Valkyria, as I'm really hopeful that people will go out and support it, obviously, and buy it, you know, and we've got the pre-order stuff that's also going on GameStop if you get it there to kind of push people, and hopefully get people out there supporting it. But, I truly think though that it's going to come down to, the perception and the reception it gets from fans. And in this case, at least, I'm hopeful that people will enjoy it enough that even if they go out there and even if, you know, that is the case, that they'll love enough that they say, wow, this game is actually completely amazing. You know, I'm going to go support it and buy a copy.
Yeah. Especially as well, you know, sticking with the fact that it is on the PSP and not, you know, a next-gen console, that it's mm-hmm. going to be a lower price point too. So it's like more Valkyria Chronicles for less money than what I'm usually used to spending on full price retail games like on the PlayStation 3 or the Xbox. So yeah. I mean, that's even a plus, I think, for people who are really, really wanting to, or even people that are interested, because I think it'd make people, you know, interested in picking up the game, especially at a lower price point.
Yeah, for people that, you know, I look at it in a very similar light. I mean, for people that aren't very sure if they would enjoy the game, it's much more likely that they would pick up the, you know, a game for $40 rather than $60. So, I mean, I like the fact that it's on PSP. I mean, my PSP has been getting a ton of love lately. So I have no problem with that at all. It's hard to deny how beautiful the first one was too. So.
Yeah, totally. I think, you know, there's a lot of fans, and I've responded to a lot of these comments on the PlayStation blog and other places where people are, you know, asking about, does the PSP actually hold even a candle to the PS3 in terms of the way the game looks and the way it performs? And they actually managed to bring the canvas system over really well. So they've kept the watercolor system, they've kept the battle system very much intact. Having played it, I think they actually did a really great job with just the way that the game comes together and the way it looks. But I'll let people kind of judge that for themselves. That's my personal thoughts. So
yeah.
See what everyone else
if anybody
thinks.
Has any doubt, they need to go out and check out the demo on the PSN
and
store.
Check the demo, yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, I've played through, I played it at E3, right? I played it a couple times at E3, and then after it came out on the store, I downloaded it. And I've played through it like 3 times since I got it downloaded, you know, because I'm sitting here trying to beat it in one turn. And
Trying to perfect it, yeah.
Yeah, I beat it in one turn, but I can't beat it in one turn and destroy the tank at the same in the same campaign. I don't know if that's even possible, but I couldn't do it. So
yeah, you got maybe not the demo. It might be. I'll have to check that one out. I haven't played the demo in a little bit, so
yeah. I always end up needing like one more command point to take out the tank. I get one good shot off on the tank, and then I need one more from the Lancer to actually destroy it, and I just can't. I don't have any more left, so.
Right. Yeah.
But people go get the demo, seriously.
Check it out.
All right, so you know, you mentioned that it was exclusive to the PS3 for the first Valkyria Chronicles, and this one is on PSP only. Is there something that's keeping you guys exclusive with Sony? I mean, are you getting a lot of support from them? I mean, how's that working?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the guys at Sony give Valkyria a lot of love. Back when Sega initially went third party, little history lesson for, I guess, some Sega fans here, but they actually divided up a lot of their star titles onto different platforms. Shenmue 2 ended up going on to the Xbox. I believe Panzer Dragoon became an Xbox exclusive. Mm-hmm. Like there were certain series and franchises that just... Yeah, it was Orta. Uh-huh. And certain franchises went to specific platforms. And so Valkyria was one of those games that was... It was designed exclusively for the PSP, and that was the deal from the very start, was we were going to do this exclusively with Sony. And, you know, we made a great game for their system, and they definitely have supported us every step of the way. So, no, nothing but good feedback for those guys, because they've really been there to help us out. So,
okay, cool.
That's good. They've been the one, I guess, out of the three to really kind of take some risks and kind of, I guess, kind of niche titles like that, ones that aren't exactly guaranteed to sell a million out the gate. So I can see that making sense. And it seems to me that the PS3 is where most of the niche gamers are. So,
there's a lot of RPG gamers, I think, on Sony platform.
And it's quite
a few, so it was a good fit.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, that last question was actually from John Muncher. I keep forgetting to mention the names of the people that are asking these questions. This one is from another member of our podcast network. His name is Darkside Rob on VG Evo. He's part of the Game Crashers podcast.
And, Crashers.
he's you know, we keep getting to this, to the same topic here. Does he wants to know if Valkyria Chronicles is ever going to return to the home consoles in glorious HD.
In glorious HD. There's certainly no denying that the original game looks absolutely beautiful. At this point, that's not a question that I'm able to comment on.
Okay.
But I have certainly seen all of the feedback. Believe me when I say this, all the comments that have come up on the blogs and on forums all over the place. I know there's a lot of people out there that would love to see it go back to the PS3. So, as far as my job goes, I've definitely messaged that on to everyone else here at Sega just to let them know. And have been messaging that for a long time. So, I've definitely passed that feedback on, but I can't really give an answer beyond that. So,
okay. I've got my hand in the air, by the way. I would love to see.
I can have a good answer. I can actually answer for you without you even, you know, agreeing with me. People buy the game. As simple as that. Buy the game. The more you buy it,
the more likely it is to come back. Yeah.
You're going to see this game come back in high def.
And it's honestly not even too late to support the original game too. If you're someone that has a PS3 and has been thinking about it, I think you can actually still find the game for $20 at certain places. There are a lot of sales that go on now. So, yeah, definitely.
I really need
to. Seriously. Get out there and support it. That's the best way to try and encourage that kind of a decision to get made. So,
yeah, I have a feeling right now, if it were to, if it were actually to come out on PS3 again, like after all the hype built up with like the sale and the extra DLC and all that, I have a feeling that the second one would sell much, much better than the first. At least I would hope it would.
Oh, yeah.
It is currently $30 on Amazon. You could probably find it for cheaper than that, but it's still worth it. So people, if you don't have this game, go out and buy it.
Buy it new, people.
All right, so we kind of touched on this too a little bit, and you mentioned the Canvas engine and that it still looks beautiful on the PSP. What's changed about the Canvas engine? I mean, obviously the characters aren't, you know, they don't have as many polygons or whatever, but, you know, overall the art style is mainly there. Has anything changed to make it more, to make it easier for the PSP to handle?
On the whole, the battle system itself and the actual in-game maps are going to look very much the same. The academy, which you're at for much of the game, actually you can kind of explore around that. It's like a top-down view, and that's in 3D with the Canvas engine as well. Hmm. Something that people might notice with the demo, actually, I know it's in the full game at least, when you get to the startup screen, if you just sit there and let it just keep going, you'll actually see the Canvas engine at work. And what happens is the setting goes from daytime to nighttime, and then as it goes to nighttime, actually the lights will start to turn on throughout the academy, and then it'll actually go from nighttime. It's actually very similar to Skies of Arcadia, by the way, that opening screen where it goes to nighttime to a dusk and then back to dawn and then finally to morning again. And you can kind of see what they've done to play around with the canvas and the watercolor style graphics that they've got going on there. So it's pretty cool, and I would encourage people to check that out to get a good view of, or at least a sample of, what the game looks like. In terms of cutscenes, those are more of like an anime style this time around.
Okay.
And I don't know if that was part of the kind of the goal in Japan, at least to open it up to a slightly younger audience. I do know a lot of people over here, at least, were concerned, and they saw that, they go, "Oh no, is it going to be like some anime, you know, dating high school sim game?" And no, we got those questions, you know. And when I first saw it too, I had that. It was a little bit of a worry in my mind. And I was like, I hope I wanted it to, the storyline to be as close to the original, because I really liked how it was. It was very cheery and optimistic, and you get into it, but it actually was really, really like realistic and kind of dark as you progress through the game. And I really liked how mature. Yeah. The maturity of the story I really loved in the first game. And so when I played through the English version for the first time, and I was going through the story, at first it starts off and you've got, you know, Yvonne, who is the main character, who's super optimistic, super cheery. And he's just the kind of like leader guy that wants to get everything done. You've got Cosette. She's his supporting character, and she's kind of airheaded. But she's the resident engineer, and she's very much the same, very cheerful, very optimistic. And then you've got Zeri, and Zeri is a Darkson, and Zeri is like everything that the jaded part of me wanted to say to those two optimistic characters rolled into one. Because every time that you get to a cutscene where you're like, "Oh my God, this is just too happy for me," Zeri comes in and he drops a line like, you know, something about their incessant optimism and how stupid they are. And you're just like, "Yes, Zeri. Oh, you're awesome. Thank you." And so if you're a jaded fan, if you really like the more mature part of the storyline, then Zeri is going to be your favorite character in the beginning of the game, because he's always making fun of them. And you'll laugh along with him and at every little cunning wisecrack he makes. But thankfully, too, as the game progresses, you know, Yvonne certainly matures quite a bit as a character, as does Cosette, and as do all the members of the squad. So it's similar to the first game, where there are definitely going to be characters that certain people really like and certain people really hate. Yeah. So the nice part is that you get to choose, you know, it's very up to you, very much up to you, who you want to take with you in terms of missions. So that's the best part. I love that in the first game, where I could just pick the people I wanted. It was always Vice, always Aka going with me from Skies. And yeah, in the second game, you got that choice too. So
that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. All right. Darkside Rob had another question. He wants to know what you feel is the biggest improvement in VC2 over the first game.
Biggest improvement, I would have to say, is the multiplayer. Definitely. The multiplayer and the battle system are probably the biggest things. They kind of go hand in hand. So the multiplayer has two modes, and the first is the co-op mode. And I got to test that out the other day with a friend here at Sega, and it was pretty fantastic, actually. The cool thing that they've done with multiplayer is it's not just some tacked on add-on to the game where you jump in, you say, all right, I've got my squad here. I'm going to kind of like carbon copy them, and you'll carbon copy yours, and we'll play a mission or something. Mm-hmm. What they've done is they've actually made it so that if I'm having trouble with a story mission, and one of you guys has, you know, really high leveled up squad, we can actually team up together, and you can use your leveled up squad to join me in the mission I'm having trouble with in the actual story to help me progress through it.
Cool.
And it's a brilliant move, and I was so stoked when I saw that. But they've actually added on beyond that in the sense that if you select two units at the same time, you can both run around on the map at the exact same time, and one of you can sort of distract the enemy while the other one, you know, hits them from behind, or while the other one runs past to get to the actual objective. So in addition, there's like special stat buffs and little boosts that you'll get for simply picking characters at the same time that your friend is picking them. It's actually up to 4-player co-op, so the more people you have in there,
that's really,
the
really
more
cool
you can do with it. It's pretty amazing.
I didn't realize it was 4 players. That's
wow,
pretty awesome.
Yeah. Kind of just, that might have just sold me right there. That's
is that ad hoc, or is that...
It is ad hoc. That's ad hoc. And then likewise, though, there are certainly ways. I know people got it for Phantasy Star Portable. There are definitely ways to... I think it's ad hoc party might be the name of it.
So ad hoc party does work with the game?
I'll have to check on that. I think it's not going to be anything officially supported, but I do remember, at least for the first Phantasy Star Portable, everyone, you know, wanted infrastructure, and so they couldn't get that, so they worked on the sort of ad hoc party that would let them get online and unofficially play together.
Right.
So
right. Ad hoc party is pretty sweet. It's actually, in a lot of ways, I like it better than infrastructure mode on the PSP, because you can put on a headset and have voice chat. So, you know. I've definitely put several ad hoc party hours into Phantasy Star Portable, that's for sure.
But yeah, so that's the first part of the multiplayer.
That's really cool. That's going to help a lot. I mean, there's a lot of people that had trouble with with how difficult the first game is, and I mean, that's going to help a lot.
Chapter 7.
Yeah, Chapter 7's the big one.
Chapter 7 is the big one.
Yeah, the next
man.
Question on my list was about, you know, was from Jack Bauer, and he's saying that he got stuck at Chapter 7. And he was wondering about the difficulty in VC2 and, you know, a co-op mode where you could jump on to ad hoc party and, you know, like if I've beaten the game already and I can jump on co-op party with him or ad hoc party and help him through a mission, that's going to be huge.
Yeah. And actually I can comment further about the difficulty too. When you begin the game, you get a choice between easy and normal mode, which is very nice. So if you ever foresee yourself having potential problems, if you were so frustrated with the first game that you stopped at Chapter 7, my suggestion, start off with easy mode. But anyone else that wants to can jump into normal and just play through that. But yeah, probably the nicest thing in terms of difficulty is if you are having a tough time, that you can get a friend to get in there and help you out. And that really makes all the difference when you can get somebody that you might know online to jump in there to bring in their squad, which might be, you know, much higher level than yours, and just to completely, you know, destroy any opposition you have to get you through that one moment that might be the catching point that's stopping you from having fun. So, it opens up a lot of possibilities, a lot of really awesome possibilities.
That is cool.
What was the other multiplayer? There's co-op, but there's also
There's also a versus mode.
Nice.
Yeah, there is also versus mode, and they've added a lot of layers to it. So it's not literally just go in and fight. There's a handicap setting you can do. There's all sorts of different missions you can pick. So they added a lot of love into the multiplayer. And I played the versus mode actually with one of the guys who was a tester on the original Valkyria Chronicles. So we had both played through the game and beaten it. He'd beaten it, I think, a few times as a tester for it.
Right.
So it was really interesting because both of us are sitting here trying to push the other one back. And it was sort of a battle of attrition where we're just downing the other person's squad members and then trying to get them out of the game for a little bit. And we went on, I think, for like 45 minutes on the map we were on without a clear winner. And then I had to go back to work. But
let's call it.
No, the versus mode is a lot of fun. Yeah. You can do team battles as well with that. So.
Oh, that's really cool.
There's four player.
Two on two?
Yeah, there is. It's four player co-op and also versus.
That's nice.
That's pretty cool.
That's nice.
Man, I didn't even realize that it was that deep. I mean, I was actually afraid that the multiplayer was going to be something that's tacked on, but that's very encouraging.
Another
no, the multiplayer is huge. Yeah.
A quick question about the versus multiplayer. Do you bring in like your team at the level?
Yes, you do.
Okay, so.
Yep.
Okay.
And then they added a handicap onto that so that and you can choose, the two of you or the four of you can choose, do you want to add a handicap to one specific player if his characters are, 20 levels higher than yours, which might be a little bit unfair.
Just a little.
Just a little, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. I am going to mess up his name. Mr. Bricolage? Bricolage?
Sure.
Yeah, sure. How is saving progress handled? Because, in the first one, you could save mid-mission, and it would obviously make sense being on a portable that you could do so in this one as well. Is that still part of the game?
That one, I don't believe you can save mid-mission anymore, and I'll have to – actually, I can double-check that while we're talking real fast. So I'm going to keep talking, and I'm going to be checking on that in the meantime.
Okay.
It saves after every single mission, or at least you have the option to save. You don't have to. So it's pretty much you play a mission, you complete it, it gives you your results, it'll give you an MVP list, the people that did the best, they'll get achievements, and then it saves the game or gives you that option right after that. And that's the way that that it goes for the most part. I'm actually firing up a mission right here to check it for you guys.
I was going to say also, that being said, because it's on the PSP, because some of the missions in the first one could be kind of lengthy.
Yeah.
Majority of them shortened quite a bit for PSP, so we can, kind of play a mission for like 10 minutes and then be done with it, or...
There are certainly a lot of shorter ones, but there's also some that are long, but not quite as long, at least not that I've played so far, they're quite as long as some of the ones in the first game. Yeah, because some of those were of epic length, I think
is the proper way to
describe them. Yeah. You're 30 minutes in, and then Alicia goes down, and you're like, oh my gosh, I want to start over. That was those moments for me that was like, oh. I know you can certainly put the PSP in sleep mode, which is option number one if you actually just want to kind of pause it for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But let me see here.
I know in the demo you couldn't, and that was actually kind of worrying at the time.
From what I'm checking out right now, it doesn't look like you can save mid-battle. But the obvious ways to get around that, one, sleep mode, and then the second thing, the nicer thing, is that the battles you're not going to have your hour and a half long battles where one thing going wrong makes you start over completely. So
there's no battles where the minimum number of turns is 9 in order to win.
Yeah, well, you never know on that one, but certainly, hopefully not anything. I don't think there's anything quite as long. There's certainly not that I've played yet, that it was quite as long as some of the very final missions in the original game.
Are we going to see DLC for the game?
You are going to see DLC for the game.
Sweet. Mm-hmm. How soon will it be? Is it going to be a couple months or, how far out will it be, you think?
The first two packs you can actually pick up if you pre-order it at GameStop. And those are skirmishes against some of the other classes at the school. So I think it's E and another class, and you can actually pick those up if you've pre-ordered. But in addition, we have actually quite a bit of DLC for the Western version. And I can't tell you exactly when it's going to come out. They're still locking a few things down with that, but we'll definitely be blogging about it and messaging it and sending it out on Twitter and everything as soon as we get those hard dates in to let people know.
Now, I'm gonna ask a question, and... If you answer it, that would be great. If not, no big deal. How does the publisher go about those kind of deals happening? Because DLC is really kind of a touchy subject with some people in terms of, especially when something is available right away. And the fact that SEGA obviously made a deal with GameStop that you can only get these missions, at least for free, if you pre-order here. Is that something that's determined well beforehand? Or is that something where like GameStop comes to SEGA and says, all right, listen up, because... I know a lot of people are kind of against that. Me kind of being one.
Oh, yeah. I understand where you're coming from. Yeah, as far as the deals go with retail and with pre-orders and all the exclusives and stuff like that, it's certainly a mixed subject from what I've seen too across forums and people that understand, you know, that the pre-order stuff definitely helps games out. It helps, you know, game sales big time. But at the same time, like they don't want to feel, you know, like, and someone that pre-ordered from Amazon, for example, shouldn't be penalized because they pre-ordered from Amazon.
I agree.
Exactly. That's my personal feeling on it. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that Sega is doing, at least with Valkyria 2, and I think it's certainly feedback, at least that I'm passing on to our brand teams here, is an understanding of that perception that if you're going to put something on, you're going to make exclusive, you know, to a certain pre-order, then, you know, try and do your best to either get it out for free later, or at least you've got to offer it to everybody else. Like you can't make something that is truly exclusive. Yeah. Just because if someone pre-ordered from Amazon, like they shouldn't miss out on that content just because they pre-ordered and supported the game elsewhere,
yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's my take on it. With Valkyria, actually, we're not looking to go out and sell a bunch of the DLC. Actually, we're looking to kind of just put a bunch of it out there for fans. And a lot of the DLC too, it's not going to be, not a ton of, you know, huge missions, but also a lot of smaller things I think people will appreciate. We've put a lot of extras and codes and stuff in there that will tie into other games, other cider products, including some more legacy titles. Yeah. And a lot of that's going to be exclusive to the West as well. So there'll be stuff in the Western version that actually was not in the Japanese version. But yeah, my personal take on it certainly is no one should be penalized for supporting the game somewhere else.
Right.
And that's what I'm passing on. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a Best Buy guy because I have a ton of reward zone points all the time. So
nice. Yeah, yeah.
All right, so Repeat asks, are the cross-game unlockables with Phantasy Star Portable going to be available in the U.S. version?
Should I answer it? Okay, we'll answer it. Yes. That's the answer.
You heard it here first.
See, I didn't even know about this until he mentioned it. What could you go into any detail about what the unlockables are between the two games?
Sure. So if you buy Phantasy Star Portable 2, when that game comes out a couple weeks later, and you have Valkyria Chronicles, the game will take a look at your save data, and when it sees that you have PSP 2, it'll actually unlock one of the main characters from Phantasy Star Portable 2 as a member of your squad in Valkyria Chronicles.
Oh, cool.
Her name is Amelia, and in addition to that, actually, you can get a tank sticker of Little Wing. Little Wing's like the organization you're a part of in PSP2.
Right.
And the tank stickers give you buffs. So you pick a certain sticker and it's going to give you a stat boost to your tank, whether it's HP or whether it's accuracy or damage or your movement speed, stuff like that. So you get a Little Wing sticker as well, besides Amelia that comes in there too. And you actually get two special missions in addition to that. So you get a character, a new sticker, and two missions if you have the save data for PSP2.
Huh.
So
is it vice versa? Do you get anything in PSP2 for having Valkyria Chronicles on your system?
Well, you just might. I don't know. that would definitely be either confirmed or denied as we get a little bit closer to the PSP2 launch. But we like doing fun stuff with our games. So,
well, yeah. I mean, I'm already buying both games, so you know, there's no need convincing me. But you know, hopefully someone out there is like,
Chris hates
maybe
the Phantasy Star Portable.
Yeah. No joke. Between I've spent over 500 hours in the Phantasy Star universe. Did that make sense?
I spent so many thousands of hours on PSO, and then I spent thousands more on PSU. So yeah. Totally follow.
Holy crap.
I think it's safe to say that Chris is going to be spending the next month and a half solely on his PSP.
Oh yeah, my PSP is going to be the only thing that's going to be used.
And it's a shame. It's a crying shame because I was really going to try to get you into Madden this month.
Yeah, good luck with that, buddy.
And Reach next month.
Yeah, yeah, Madden Reach, and let's not forget that I'm supposed to be playing the Vindictus beta, and I haven't been messing with that as much as I should have. But all right, let's get going. More about classes, which you kind of mentioned. Now, I talked to you a little bit about this at E3, but I wanted to ask you about it again. Can you talk a little bit more about the melee class? It's the new melee classes in the game.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see here. You guys can still hear me? Just making sure.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Good deal. So the melee class, the official name for it is Armored Tech, and the Armored Tech group it's sort of a hybrid class between super strong defense because they've got a shield that they use, but also with support. So besides being able to close the gap and get in, you know, it right next to your enemies and then nail them square in the face with a war pick, you can also disarm landmines now. The engineer's ability, the old engineer's ability to disarm landmines has become part of the armored tech group. And their new ability is actually the ability to rebuild destroyed cover like sandbags. And that's actually, that's just the base of the armored tech. Worth noting is that every single class in the game, scout, shock trooper, lancer, actually levels up into different branches. And you can, it's sort of like a dual tree branch where, let's say the scout, for example, either becomes a scout veteran or a sniper. And then actually from scout veteran, there are two more options. And from sniper, there are two more options that way. So you kind of get to level up your characters individually and choose very specifically what role you want them to have in the battlefield. So in addition to all this, the sort of branching paths you have, you've essentially got more than just five classes in the game, or five or six classes when you kind of look at it that way. And the armored tech, actually, if you take them a certain route, you gain the ability to set landmines yourself.
Oh, wow.
Which is a very interesting new feature that adds a whole new layer of strategy when it comes to poor little NPCs running over your landmines and blowing themselves to smithereens. Very satisfying feeling. So yeah, there's a lot to the armored tech class. And likewise, if you don't want to go the support route, you can take them down the pure melee route and actually give them a massive sword. And they get a huge shield by the end of that too. And they're like the tank, you know, running around with super limited mobility. But if they get in range of somebody, they do a ton of damage. So that's now, the armor tech.
The armor tech, now they all carry around a big shield. Is that a shield that could be used for by other members of the squad as cover? Like if they're standing behind them, they're covered, right?
Yes and no. It's sort of a mixed thing because, yeah, the shield will block any bullets that are coming at you, pretty much, at least normal bullets. It's not going to protect you from like the heaviest of tank fire.
Right.
But yeah, you can use them sort of as a meat shield to stand there and just protect you as you're moving another unit around. Because yeah, if they're shooting at an armor tech member and they're hitting the shield, it's going to block the bullets for you.
Okay.
So it requires a bit of careful planning to do that on the actual battlefield. But yeah, it can be done.
Okay. Now, one of the things that you said about the leveling was that like the scout could branch out into like veteran scout and sniper. That kind of concerns me a little bit, actually, because the sniper has really crappy mobility. Does the scout advancing to sniper keep its mobility, or does he lose his mobility and go down to like the sniper's mobility?
The best way I can explain it is it's a yes and a no, because the mobility of your sniper is going to be based upon in many ways, the level of your scouts as a whole. So that's what you're going to level up like the original game, where you pour the experience into that, you raise that, and they just become better all around. But then in addition to, you do have certainly more limited mobility as a sniper. So whenever you do go into these paths, if you pick a specific class, it's going to adjust your stats based on what that class is good at. So it would be kind of unfair, I think, if they didn't do that, just because a sniper with scout mobility would be completely broken.
Yeah, actually, yeah, it would be. But
totally broken. But
he'll have more mobility than like the starting sniper, right? The base class of the sniper.
Yeah, like it's gonna be, if you go to sniper, it's not like you're dropping down to level one suddenly, and it's like you just started Valkyria Chronicles 1 as a sniper. It's not like that.
Okay.
You're gonna maintain the levels you gained as the scout group as you transition them into a sniper role.
Okay. That makes sense. I can go with that. Now, what about the other classes? I know that there's been some changes made. Can you talk about some of the changes, or if there's any other new classes that we haven't covered?
Let's see. Shock troopers are going to be fairly standard fare. People will be familiar with that. There's some cool stuff that they've done with the shock troopers, and I'm going to try not to spoil a lot of the end game class stuff because it's awesome, and I don't want to dive into it yet. But the shock troopers, now you can actually kind of decide whether you want to go to a really like advanced machine gun route, or whether you actually want to go to the flamethrower route. And that's kind of a cool change that they've made with the shock troopers. Same with scouts, actually. Scouts in the first game, and I think some listeners will probably agree with me here, but they were a little bit broken when you got them to elite status, because you get those grenades that you could essentially
The ones that you fire from the gun?
Straight across the field, yeah. And like you're just nailing people just left and right with those grenades. So in this version, they've made you actually have to choose. You can get to that, but you actually have to specifically specialize in that if you want to do it. So what they've done is they've kind of balanced all the classes. So scouts are no longer the best class ever, essentially, which is kind of what they were if you were speedrunning in the first game.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
There's an actual reason now to vary the squad that you're taking in and to use different members for different roles. So it's kind of nice. I'm appreciative of the fact that they've limited it a little bit.
Okay. Jeff, are you going to say something?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought you said something. Well, about that, then, so you basically level up based on class, but then you can branch on a per character basis. Is that the way it works?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, that's cool.
And your characters will gain sort of little medals and achievements every time you complete a mission. So you go into a mission, you pick Zeri because you like Zeri, and you use Zeri to gun down like three rebels. And Zeri ends up killing the most rebels that match. So at the very end of it, you're going to see the MVP thing come up, and it's going to show you Zeri's picture, and it's going to tell you what he earned bonus as a result of being the top killer, pretty much the top guy on your roster for that mission. So as he accumulates these, he's going to get, you know, more and more, and special ones based on people he defeats or certain missions. And when you've got enough, you can unlock his next class. You can take him to, you know, his advanced class, or you can take him to the flamethrower route, or whatever you want to do with him. So it is kind of nice in the sense that you don't have to take an entire group. Like, all scouts don't become snipers, you know, and you can have a single person that you really want to see as a sniper, like Melissa, for example, who's kind of the creepy girl that like sneaks around and shuffles here and there. And I thought she was perfect for a sniper class. So I turned her into a sniper and was really pleased with it, but it doesn't mean Yvonne, if he's a scout, has to be a sniper too. And that's nice because it rewards the characters that you use the most. And so you don't have to worry about trying to bring around people that you don't like anymore. You can kind of play the characters you want. Yeah. You can play the characters you want at your own pace, and they get rewarded specifically. So it's a nice touch.
That's pretty cool. Let me see. What do we got next? So you kind of touched on, you know, that there were people that were worried about it being a dating sim and stuff like that. Talk about the character relationship in this game. Like, in the first one, you had a list of like the people that each character liked. How does that affect the game, this particular game?
Well, that list is still there. So you've still got the sort of relationships between certain characters, where some people are totally racist, and if you put them next to a Darkson, their performance suffers because they cannot stand Darksons. Likewise.
Oh, wow.
No, it's true. And in the game, and that I think, I hope, is certainly another point to make, that the game is a bit darker than some people might think. It's very similar to the first one, where it's got the anime look, at least on the surface. But when you dive into it, it's dealing with topics that are extremely mature in the way that they're presented and the way that they're dealt with in the game. But no, that's a character trait. That's a personality that you might come up against. But then likewise, you might have people that are a Darkson and, you know, really get along well with their fellow Darksons. And if you put two of them together, then you're going to get, you know, bonuses. Or there's one girl that happens to love another member of your squad, and if you put her near the guy that she loves anytime, like, her stats just go through the roof. And so it's kind of fun because you've got all those different placements. You've got the stuff from the first game. I know there was the pollen allergies and stuff like that different maps will affect different characters differently too. So there's a lot of elements of strategy that come into play with that. It goes quite a bit deeper than the first game, actually. And this is something I was really pleased with. We talked about it yesterday on the Community Blitz on the Sega blogs, but, they've added a sort of new way that you can follow a side story for every single member of your squad. So if you find a character you like, there's a side story for them. And if you use them in battle, you'll open up more dialogues with this character across campus. And as you get to know more about them, and use them more and more, eventually, if you progress this, you'll get to do a special mission that's kind of exclusive to that character. And if you can beat that mission, then you unlock a special hidden potential that will then activate potentially like on the battlefield.
Nice.
So it's a nice reward. So if you've got someone that you really like, you play with them more, and then you make them stronger as a result of that. So it's a really cool way to get to know the people on your squad that you actually like. So it's a pretty cool touch.
And yeah, that's very reminiscent of like Mass Effect 2, of like doing their background missions.
In some ways, yeah.
Getting special powers out of them too, yeah. I'm troubled now, because hearing about the advances this game is making, it's making me think I want to jump back in to the, you know, well, not jump, makes me want to like do the PSP game, you know, and not even worry about the PlayStation 3 game. hearing about, you know, changes to the scout, you know, the multiplayer and all that stuff, I mean, it's really, really selling me on the game so far. But now, what about people who have played the first game? Like, are there references to the first one? Like, good references that are good enough to where, okay, I should go back to that first game and play it first to get...
Oh, yeah,
get
more- absolutely. If you have played the first game, there's a lot of really cool stuff they added into the second game that you're going to like. First and foremost, as I'm sure a lot of people have seen, there are at least two returning characters that have a minor role in the story, and you'll meet them fairly early on in the game. their names are Welkin and Alicia Gunther. And at this point in the game, you actually get to see those two appear in the second game. I'm not going to talk too much about them because I don't want to spoil, you know, stuff about the first game.
Right.
But you get to see those two again, and they're two of the main characters in the first game. So it's really cool to see what's become of them and what they're doing. And I think people that have played the first game, when you see the role that Alicia is in, you will smile immediately when you see her show up there. And we actually went back and got the original voice actors for those two and use them in the second game as well. So
very cool.
A little extra touch that I hope people will pick up on and appreciate.
That's awesome.
It actually, I guess I can go beyond that. There's also a lot more in the game. The first game, you met Princess Cordelia and you got to know her a bit.
Yeah.
And she is a prominent figure in the second game. In fact, the entire second game is taking place in large part because of her and because of her race. So that's a huge part of the story, actually, and you'll run into her throughout the storyline. You'll be familiar with her. And then there might be a couple extras here and there, maybe some downloadable items that might let you grab. And it's more of an Easter egg thing. It's not necessarily canon in the story, but it might let you grab characters from the first game and play them again in the second game. So who knows who those characters could be, certainly.
I think I got a last-minute question about that I might be hitting on later, but we'll get to that in a minute.
Nice.
A bit.
So yeah,
that's cool. Now you were talking about a little bit about like how, instead of the way it's laid out, you actually have like this overhead view of the school and everything like that. Does that mean the history book type presentation from the first game is gone? I mean, does it still have that look to it at all?
It's still there, but it's not the prominent thing anymore.
Okay.
I guess is the best way to put it.
Okay. Let's see. Where do we got next? Can you replay story missions, like to get a better rank? If you don't get an A the first time through a story mission, can you replay them in this one?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you can. They become free missions after you've completed them once. And the way it works is it's like a month system. So you'll go through January, you complete all the missions for January, and then you advance the storyline into February. So what you can do is go back at any time you want to and play any mission from previous months. So it's awesome if you want to go back and you have like a favorite mission to speed run to try and level up your members. You can just kind of go back and keep replaying those missions you really like. So
I like
and
that.
Likewise, try and get better ranks. Yeah.
Cool. Everything's progressive. That's really good, actually.
Yeah, because the first one only lets you, I mean, you had the skirmishes, but there wasn't a skirmish for every story mission. So that's kind of why I was getting at that question.
Right.
All right. So in the most memorable battles for the first one for me, was against the Batamus and Marmosa at the end. Are there any like epic level battles like those in this? I mean, are you going to be fighting any giant tanks like we did in the first one?
Oh, there will be epic battles. That is for sure. And I smile quite a bit as I'm answering this, just because
you can't spoil anything.
I'm not going to spoil it, but I would just say like it's on the PSP, and first reaction is like it's on the PSP. It's not going to be as big, right? No. Totally not. Like there are huge battles that you get into, and it's just got this epic sense where you're like, oh my god, can we win this one? And it's sort of like that first fight when Silvarius shows up in chapter 7, and all you can kind of do is just like cry and run screaming.
Yeah,
you know, and
hide
try
behind
and
your tank
it.
Because that's the only thing she can't kill in one shot, pretty much.
Yeah. And there are certainly moments, and it's certainly not quite the same as when Silvarius shows up, but there are moments when you get to those battles and you're just like, oh, wow, this is kind of amazing. So they do exist, yes.
Speaking of Silvaria, are we going to get to control of Valkyria in this one? Like rather than, you know, outside of DLC, like in the progression of the story, is there a chance at that?
That one I cannot confirm or deny. I can tell you that in terms of the storyline, that the powers of the Valkyrie are a pretty big part of it. And in the first game, it should be known too. I don't want to spoil too much, but there was a lot of research going on with the powers of the Valkyrie and ways to kind of use that. And Silvaria was very much, you know, just a weapon. and was viewed as a weapon in a lot of cases too. So it's interesting because that's another element of the storyline, in terms of people that might have the powers of the Valkyr or artificial powers of the Valkyr, and how they're treated, and whether they're treated as just weapons of a war, or whether they're treated as people, and the confrontations that might arise because of that. So, can't answer your question directly, but the powers of the Valkyr at least will certainly be coming into play, and you'll see it pretty quickly on in the game.
Okay, cool. Hedges 1001. He wants to know if the European release will have a special edition.
That I do not know. I can check in with our European team and find out. Probably not is the answer I'm going to give, but that is not for certain yet. Let me check in with those guys first, and if there is, I will definitely put it up on the blogs and on Twitter.
Cool. All right. And I need to find out a way to get that if there is.
And if so, I want one.
That's
yes.
Right. All right. So what do you think is the next step for the franchise? I mean, is there a sequel planned? I mean, is there going to be a third one? I sure hope there is. But, you know, do you guys have any idea of where it's going from here?
That's another one that I can't answer. And in large part because as a community manager, I'm not the first guy they would come to and say, hey, we're planning on X, you know, or this or that. So not a question I could answer. I can certainly say, you know, kind of stay tuned. I think right now all of our eyes, in terms of at least Sega of America and possibly Sega of Europe, is we're really looking at the second game. We're going to see how this one does. So it's not to say that sales of the second game are like the make or break for any continuation of the series. I'm not saying that at all, but what I'm essentially saying is that, the second game I'm really hoping does well, because that is what would certainly push Sega as a company. And I can say that from my internal perspective, like if the game does fantastic, it's much more likely as a franchise to keep going. So, and that's obvious, you know, business 101 stuff, but, I don't know at this specific point what the continuation plans might be for the series, if there are any. So, don't take it as a yay or a nay. It's a long way of saying it, not a yay or a nay, I know, but I did want to kind of explain it in as much detail as possible so no one's taking it, you know, or going off in a random direction with it. So
that was an amazing way to say no comment.
Wasn't it? Yeah. It's the longest no comment I think I've ever given.
All right. These came in last minute, so they're not going to, you know, they're not in any particular order, but
no
Repeat
worries.
Sends in another question, and he says, one of my favorite things about the first games was the diverse cast of characters from all walks of life. Is this retained in Valkyria Chronicles 2? And he says he's mildly worried that it's in a school setting. That seems to be like the theme. It's like, oh no, it's a school setting.
Yep, that is the theme that I think a lot of people have. So let me put those concerns to rest a second time then. It's a school, but it's not a high school. It's an academy, and it's actually a military academy. So it's not a setting where a bunch of kids, 16 and 17, go to this academy and they all train to become soldiers together. No, it's actually an academy that only the most kind of prestigious military or sort of, I guess, promising young men and women from Gallia can get into. So the age range actually varies from the very young, and you had very young people actually in the first game too. Mm-hmm. So you've got people that are in their teens. You've also got people that are actually like 30 years old that are enlisted at the academy. So fans of people like Largo, for example, you know, the characters that were much more mature and had that sense to their personality, those guys will be happy because there's a very big range. And even though a lot of them might be younger, like I think it's late teens to early 20s for a lot of them, there are some that are also older that you can have as members of your squad. So,
okay.
Their personalities also are very reflective of that. So they're all very diverse. That's something I think that maybe they've done actually better this time around is the diversity of the characters. And I think I say that because you get to know the characters better in the second game with the dialogues and the cutscenes, like I mentioned, where you,
oh, cool,
you know, purposely get to talk to them. So yes is the answer. Lots of diverse characters.
Awesome. That's
about how many characters are playable in the game?
There's quite a few. I'm actually going to take a quick look at the journal. There's a journal when you go to Avon's room at the academy, which is sort of like the book mode, and you can look through the pages of the characters and read up on the characters there. And it's not quite as big as book mode was, but you can go through that to just keep checking in for new info on all your personnel, or to look back at past cutscenes and stuff like that.
Oh, cool.
So there's probably around, I think, 20 to 30 different characters, maybe more than that, actually. Wow. Let me bring it up here. So yeah, we're looking at... 10, 20, 30, actually probably over 30 playable characters that you can get in your squad, and that's not counting extra unlockables.
That's a pretty thick sum of characters, especially for a handheld game of this nature. That's really cool.
Yeah, there's quite a few. So I'm pretty positive that no matter what your sort of personality is in terms of people that you like, you'll find a character that you can connect with somewhere on that list. So
very cool. All right, so this as us in this podcast, we're not. You know, we're known for not beating around the bush any, so I'm not going to sugarcoat this one. This is from Blink Jarvis. He says, yep. Any thoughts on the abortion that is the anime?
The abortion that is the anime. I watched the anime when it was first coming out in Japan and took a look at that. I was actually really sad because they killed Vice in one of the episodes, and I was completely horrified when I saw that. I was, like, so sad, and I think word went around that Kodama-san, who was one of the creators of Vice and Ikki and Fina in Skies of Arcadia, actually,
right.
was kind of mad when she heard that too and made a comment that in her next game she was going to kill Hans. Yeah. So that was the rumor going around. I don't know if that's true, but yeah, the anime I think was very much aimed at a different audience than the game. I think the anime, and granted it's an anime, so it's going to be, you know, a bit different. It's going to have those quirky things that a lot of anime series have. I wouldn't say that the anime was an abortion. I think that's a pretty harsh term. And I say that knowing a lot of people, you know, that they comment to us on like Twitter and say they actually really like the anime and the anime made them buy the game. And so when I hear that kind of stuff, I'm like, oh, you know, that's really good to hear. But it's certainly, I think the anime appeals to a different group of people than the game does in terms of maturity levels. And you can definitely like both, but the anime probably just goes out to that sort of anime crowd. It's not to say they're less mature, I guess, but it's just to say that it might be either a younger audience or the anime crowd that would probably like the anime. And then the game, I think, kind of appeals to everybody in that sense. So, yeah, I would say the anime, some people will like it, some people will hate it, and that's totally cool. That's your own opinion.
Right.
But it has certainly raised awareness of Valkyria Chronicles as a series, and it has helped increase sales and support of the first game by people seeing it and then going out and buying it. So I'm definitely not going to, you know, I'm definitely not going to say anything bad about the anime because I'm very glad for what it has done to help the series.
He also asked, did the team ever feel pressured about the lack of trophies in the game? Like, did they ever feel like they needed to patch it?
Do they feel pressured? The team probably hates me right now for the insane amount of times that I have constantly been asking them for trophies in the first game. I kid you not, it's been a very long time, and I'm always pushing those guys. I feel bad sometimes because I'm just always pushing them on it or getting people here to push them about it. So I'm sure they feel pressured. I know it. The reason it hasn't, you know, happened in large part is because it's never as easy as it seems, I think is the best way to put it. And everyone looks at it like, you just add trophies. Like, all you got to do is add trophies, right? And a lot of people see it as like it's sort of like the extra icing on the cake, right? You take the extra layer off, you build a new layer. In reality, it's more attuned, I think, changing game code a lot of times is more like taking apart the lowest bricks from the foundation of a house. And if you start messing with that, then there's the potential you might screw things up, you know, above that as well. So you have to be really careful with code. Now that is my generic answer that I get all the time from the devs and from coders that tell me, you know, it's never as easy as people think it is.
And I will back them up for that. I will back them up on that because, you know, I'm a software engineer. I've been doing it for 10 years. It is not as easy as it sounds. It never is. You know, especially when you're working on patching things that where, like, now there's code on a disk and there's also code in another area on a hard drive. And, you know, it definitely adds a layer of complexity. And when, you know, it's exactly that. You're messing with the foundation of a house and you don't want to fuck things up. So, yeah, I can back that up.
Yeah. And that's pretty much the response I've been getting is that it's unfortunately not really easy for them to go in and to add the trophies in, or they would have totally already done it. They definitely know that the fans do want it, and we've passed it on for some time. So, I'm going to continue passing that on, and they'll keep poking, keep prodding. and either they'll get, you know, more angry at me, or they'll finally be like, no, never, not happening. But I will keep pushing for the fans in terms of that one. And if we do get any new news, there's been nothing yet. And I'm not honestly expecting anything in the near future. But if we do get anything, I'll definitely get it out there. So.
Okay, cool. All right, so this is the last question we've got.
Okay.
So still from Bleak Harvest. He says, will we be seeing the return of Faldio, Maximilian, and Nisara as rewards like in the Japanese version?
Japanese version? Oh, no, I don't know what you're talking about. if you want to take the comment I made earlier about certain characters that might be coming back as unlockables that might not be quite canon to the story, you can pretty much answer that question. So yeah, he's got that answered, I think.
Okay.
So yeah, that question is very much confirmed.
How can something be in the game but not be canon?
They're not part of the Star Wars character,
Soul Calibur.
They're part of the story, exactly. But they're not part of like your group.
Yeah. So the way to look at it is they're in the game, right? But they're an Easter egg. They're an unlockable. So they're not supposed to look at it and be like, wait a minute, this can't be happening because this happened in the first game and this is not physically possible right now. You just kind of have to look at them as just sort of hidden goodies that are just kind of there for the original fans' enjoyment. And they're not meant to be taken. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I was just kind of confused because, like, sometimes comic books cannot be considered canon off of the main game. I was like, "What? It's in the game. Okay.
Oh, I got you. Yeah,
we're on the same page, guys. I'm going to tell you, we're on the same page now.
Good deal. Yeah.
All right, Aaron, that's all the questions I've got. Do you guys have anything else you want to bring up, you want to add?
I do want to. One thing that annoyed me with the first one. I'm pretty sure this was an issue with Chris as well. After you're doing one of your turns, it seemed like the enemy always got in like a cheap shot. Does that happen in the second one?
A cheap shot.
Like,
are you talking about when you zoom in, Jeff, to attack mode?
Yeah, when you go into the attack mode, you run up, you shoot, and then they'll usually like
get one shot after that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about. You're saying when you finish shooting, right, and you're about to like end your turn, they get that one last shot in. Actually, that's been pretty much fixed in the second game, and I've tested it to make sure. When you finish attacking, to stop using a character now, you push the start button, and there's no more, like, are you sure you want to stop using this character thing? So, because the button's not anywhere near the other button, so when you're sure you want to stop, you push start really quick, and if you push it as soon as you finish an attack, the enemy will not get a chance to shoot at you.
Right.
Okay, good.
So,
and Jeff, one of my biggest problems with the first one was when you were actually zooming in to aim, like, especially if you were trying to aim against a shock trooper, they would get like a ton of shots off while you were zooming in. And, you know, if you play the demo for the second one, you know, shock troopers maybe get one bullet off and that's it. While you're zooming in. So it's definitely a big improvement in that front.
Because I died a lot like that.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah.
there was a lot of mid-battle save loading in that respect. Well, I wanted to ask you about, you know, you kind of mentioned it before. Talk about the community blitz a little bit. I know you guys have been doing a lot with that lately.
Yeah, and we've actually got another one that I'm going to finish up as soon as this podcast is done. It's going to be a long night in the office. But the Blitz is a community-led initiative that we're updating every day. So every day on the blogs, on Facebook, on Twitter, you can find out new information about Valkyria Chronicles 2. And the Blitz is kind of a response, I think, to the fact that, in my opinion, there's a lot of info about this game. Like, the game is huge, just massive for a PSP game. And I felt like there's a lot of info that wasn't getting out there that fans would really appreciate, that would drive hype, that would support the game. So I wanted to make sure that we did as much as we could, especially leading up, because we're getting close to launch now, to get all that info out there, to get people excited about it, to start prepping everyone up for the launch of Valkyria Chronicles 2. So it started this week, and it's going to go all the way every weekday until the game finally launches. We're going to have new updates for Valkyria Chronicles 2 with new info. We kind of give a special thanks and like a shout out to a single person or to a fan site that has supported the series. And that goes back to the original game, back to the initial surge I talked about earlier. And likewise, we're also giving away free stuff every day. And people like that. I don't know.
It's amazing what free stuff will do for you, right?
It is amazing. And we've given away stuff like Valkyria Chronicles figurines. Yesterday we gave away some of the pre-order art books, which are going for like $60 on eBay now, which is kind of amazing. And then I actually have, and we're not going to give this away till much later on the campaign, but I have one of the really thick Japanese art books that has a lot of the original character sketches and like all the original concepts for the game. And it's like a massive book. It's about $60 if you import it from Japan right now.
Nice.
And we're gonna give that away near the end. I'm not gonna reveal what day yet. But
that would look good in my man cave. That would look really good in here.
It's a pretty nice book.
And so. What's your Twitter name that they can follow?
We are Valkyria Tribune at Twitter. It's Valkyria, TRIBUNE. So we've got that, we've got the blogs, and then we're also Valkyria Chronicles on Facebook. You'll see us updating there every day. So
yeah, I've seen you guys give away some DLC codes for the original game. So
yes, we did, and we have more to come.
There's still a few DLC packs that I don't have for the first one.
So. Oh, right on. Right. You have Behind Her Blue Flame though, right? You have that one.
Is that the third one?
No, that is. The first three kind of came out together.
Right.
That's the one where you get to play as Silvara.
Yeah, I do have that one. Yeah.
Okay, good. That's like my favorite by far is that one. So
yeah, it's
sure.
It's a very different view on the entire storyline of the game because you get to see how Silvara is, you know, how her squad treats her and how she treats them, and it's almost like she's very motherly, and you start kind of feeling differently about her. So you know.
Yeah, you feel bad, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, when you play that, you know, and you probably have unlocked a special hidden part to that, right?
No, I haven't. I've only played the first two missions of it, I think.
Oh, well, if you can manage to pull certain things off and do really well and pretty much ace it, and there are actually kind of two different paths you can take with that mission, by the way, that set of missions, then you will unlock her powers, her full powers that you get to use, which is awesome. So...
Yeah,
just throwing that out there in case anyone wants to, give people an incentive to actually go back and try that because it's pretty awesome. So
cool.
Yeah.
Well, Aaron, thank you very much for joining us. Before you go, why don't you pimp your game one more time and tell us when it's coming out?
Yeah, we'll do Valkyria Chronicles 2 coming exclusively to the PlayStation Portable this August 31st.
Awesome. Thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you guys.
I'm looking forward to the game very much, and we're definitely going to be reviewing it for our website. So it's going to be. You know, hopefully I'll be able to get that up in a rather timely manner. So we'll see what happens. But
right on.
Yeah,
right
definitely. On. Thank you. And good job on the game and good job on the managing the community because I see the updates and I see how excited everybody is. It's encouraging.
I'm good to hear. Yeah, thank you very much. And thanks again for having me.
Absolutely. You have a good night.
Well,
thank you. Cheers.
Well, thank you again, Aaron, for joining us. Very informative interview about Valkyria Chronicles 2. I didn't know about all that multiplayer shit, man. That was
it sounds cool.
Yeah, that's. I mean, if I wasn't sold on the game before, now I am. I mean,
Can I tell you something real quick?
Yeah,
you two things. Like Lady Gaga now.
two, fuck yourself. Two things. All right. Two things. One. I'm definitely gonna buy Valkyria Chronicles 1, mm-hmm. like sometime soon.
Okay.
I've been sitting sleeping on that game for so long. And I'm really pumped for two, especially talking about the multiplayer and the co-op and everything. So I want to play the first one first for sure. So I'm gonna jump
take a ride
that
on his disco
soon.
Stick.
So two. The second thing is, you know, we kind of alluded to he couldn't answer it, but what's next for Valkyria Chronicles in the series? Multi-platform, Xbox 360, Valkyria Chronicles 3.
Are we having a bet here? Is this going to be another one of your bets?
Well, let's go ahead and put the prediction down right now. Xbox 360 in cahoots with Valkyria Chronicles and Sega. VC3.
On 360?
On 360. Oh, I love it. It just rolls off the fucking tongue. I bet you it's going to happen.
I thought you don't do bets anymore.
Oh, you know what? Times are changing. Times are changing. You know,
he
companies.
Wants to sing some more,
companies.
Sing
you know,
some
companies.
More Lady Gaga.
I'll take that bet.
No.
Oh shit.
What's gonna be next? Some pink?
No.
Hey, you're the one that likes pink. You're the ones.
Actually,
you're the one
I do
that
like
likes.
Pink.
Yeah.
But it'd still be funny to hear you sing your shit.
Oh man, that's funny.
Because that was ridiculous.
That shit was good, though, right? Come on. It was funny. It was good.
Oh,
anyway. I was getting a lot of hate from, like, Necro. He's like, you should have done it live. No. you should have done it live. I'm sorry, bro.
Yeah, but if he took the bet, though, he'd probably dress up like her and then videotape it. Yeah. So.
Oh, my God.
Love you, buddy.
Love you, too, dude.
I was talking about Necro.
Yeah, me too.
But you too.
Yeah. Oh, anyway.
God. Anyway, hey, moving on. I can never, every time I hear that song now, I'm just going to... I don't know whether or not to throw up or die of laughter.
Maybe both. Throw up while, while you're laughing your ass off?
Yeah. I'm proud of you, though, Travis. You manned up. That was good.
Word.
He's a man of his word, man. He stuck to his bet.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you guys want to do some new releases?
Let's do it.
All right, I got a repeat voicemail.
Okay, so there's quite a few interesting games next week. For the high-def systems, we have Mafia 2. Now, for the Wii, it's getting a couple of interesting releases. First up, we have Gunblade New York and LA Machine Guns Arcade Hits, which compilation of two different Sega Light Gun games. And if the other Light Gun compilations and games for the Wii are anything to go by, it's probably going to be great. Now, the other game we've got is Ivy the Kiwi, which is for Wii and DS, and that strange razor voice is because it's Ivy the Kiwi question mark for some reason, like the game doesn't even know what it's meant to be called. Okay. Now, this has been made by Yuji Naka, which, for the non-Sega fanboy, is the guy that made Sonic. Mm-hmm. I looked at some video of it, and it actually looks pretty decent. Sort of a weird platform. I got a bit of a Kirby's Canvas Curse sort of feel to it, because you're not directly controlling the Kiwi. You're sort of flinging it around with these weird vine things.
Yep.
Although the smart money is probably on, it's going to sell like crap, and you'll be able to find it for dirt cheap in a couple of weeks.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, now downloadables, there's also a lot of good games coming out. The WiiWare looks like it's getting And Yet It Moves, which is some weird indie platformy adventure puzzly game thing with weird papercraft-looking graphics. Don't know too much about it, but it looks pretty interesting. Now, the 360 is getting the Scott Pilgrim game that the PS3 got last week, so they're catching up there because now the Summer of Arcade's over. And finally, we're getting Shank for both XBLA and PSN, which is another brawler slash shooter. Looks pretty damn good, so that's probably worth checking out as well. I think that'll just about do it. Actually, it looks like the PC's also getting Worms Reloaded, so if you like Worms, well, there you go. There's another one.
All right. Thank you, Pete.
I do like Worms.
Fill in worms them gaps.
All right, I'll fill in the gaps. Let's see here. For the Wii is also getting Grease, hooray, NHL 2K11, and The Bachelor video game. How about that shit? and it looks like the DS is getting Harvest Moon, and also Grease and The Bachelor video game.
A.K.A. it as Imagine Douchebags.
Imagine Douchebags. So that is your new release list, and that's it. So pick of the week, what do you guys got?
I'm going with Shank.
Shank, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well,
I don't know.
I'm going to be the guy who's different. I don't know that much about Shank, so I'm going with Ivy the Kiwi. I got to play it at E3, and it's actually pretty fun.
Cool.
You know, it's a little different, and you know, I played the Wii version, and I think Project, Indus Rhodey on Twitter, played the DS version, and he said that the DS version felt really good, too. So, yeah, that's what I'm going with. But Repeat got it right. I mean, you don't actually control Ivy. You control... you control vines, and you know you can move the vines in such a way that he'll like jump up platforms and shit like that. It's pretty interesting.
Neato.
Yep. There you have it. Well, Travis, I'm going to give the show back to you, buddy. Let's do some emails.
Okay, no problem. Yo, Indus, the always controversial Jackal666 here, just mailing in to tell you guys called it. Mass Effect 2 coming to the PS3 was one of my big predictions at the start of the year, and it was this little throwaway comment that grew into one of the most epic sagas in all of Indus history.
In Indus history.
That saga came to a climax at Gamescom, where EA announced that Mass Effect 2 is coming to the PS3. I think Travis has to sing Love Game. The song's got it all. Slight video game theme, lots of uhs and ahs, and the lyric, quote, "Let's have some fun and beat this sick. I want to take a ride on your disco stick," unquote. Or possibly Alejandro, because you can't sing that without a latex nun's, without wearing a latex nun outfit. I'm laughing as I write this because I know that Travis is going to have to read it, and I can just imagine the dejection in his voice and Jeff's laughing. I love the fact that even Jeff was starting to doubt after E3, and Travis was getting so cocksure of himself, then bam! Gamescom. America always forgets about Gamescom. Probably part of the ongoing conspiracy to destroy European gamers. Don't deny it. You're all part of it. Sorry about that. Where was I? Oh, yes. You should have had more faith in Jeff and I, Travis. The colonies rule. Jackal out.
Nice.
Word.
Yeah,
that was pure dejection in my voice.
Did he say the prediction?
I don't know. I thought it was. I don't remember him saying it.
I was actually looking back at sound bites. He mentioned what was it? Around the E3 prediction episode. No. It was after our prediction, but it was somewhere in between there. That's when I had made the actual comment that I would sing Lady Gaga. But it was right. coming off of one of his emails. Yes.
Okay, the Lady Gaga thing. So the bet came before that.
Yeah,
then?
The bet was in January. So the bet
was
in
January.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So I thought, because I was confused there for a second. I was like, oh shit.
Yeah, it was actually February. Because when I was going back looking for some sound clips, it was February.
Whatever, January, February. We're both in the beginning of the year. Who cares?
Right.
Who guessed?
Cool. Either way, he had
guess.
That's right.
Yeah, that's true, and that's all that matters, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Hey guys, just sending you guys and wanted to hear your opinions on it. Impossible. Your listeners as well, if you decide this would be a good topic for your show, and this is Sigma Omega, by the way, because I heard from other podcasts that the Mafia 2 demo, it was on the PSN XBLA, is just a more polished demo than the E3 demo. So my question for you guys are, do you think that demos playable on the E3 floor should be put up on the PSN XBLA and possibly Wii for people that are not allowed to come? I mean, from what I hear, the demos on the floor are not big and are in demos that we see later anyway, so why can't we get an E3 feel at home? Thanks, guys. Again, Sigma Omega. I think he brings up a good point.
I'm wondering if we should actually shoot this out to the listeners and actually make this a question of the week.
Well, I don't necessarily think we should do that, because that's a simple answer. I was going to say yes.
I'm going to say no.
Really?
Yeah, I'm gonna say no, and I have a reason.
Well, I would like them to, but I know why they don't. Well, anyway, go ahead, Chris. I'd like to, but
yeah, here's my reason.
Understand why they don't.
There's when you see a game at E3, the people that are there, it's all like press and huge people that are within the a lot of them are big industry people, and some are like smaller people in the industry that are just going to see shit and stuff like that. But everybody knows that E3 is a trade show, and everybody knows that shit there is still in progress, and it's pre-alpha. A lot of the shit there is pre-alpha. You take those demos and you throw them out on PSN or Xbox Live or something like that, the average Joe customer is going to download it. And if it's not polished, if it looks like shit, then that's an immediate turnoff for that game.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
what's to say that they will download the next demo that comes out that has more polished graphics on it? So in the respect of that, I definitely think that it's in the developer and the publisher's better interest not to put the E3 demos up there to make sure that
even
they are more polished beforehand.
Yeah, because they'll just polish up those E3 ones, and then they'll put those ones out because make it so they don't crash, because a lot of stuff does crash at E3.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are controlled demos and controlled environments, so it's like they're not going to do that. But I do remember the first, when 360 launched, the first E3, and I thought they were going to do this every year, but they didn't. They had the playable demo for Lost Planet.
Right.
And they're like, and if you're not at E3, guess what? You can download this starting now on Xbox Live Marketplace, and you can get download the demo that they were playing there. And there's another game they did it with too. It might have been Dead Rising.
Yeah.
I can't remember. They did it. It was a couple. I think it was just mainly Capcom who did it, but they put the actual demos at E3 onto. You can download during E3, which I thought was really, really cool. But they never really did that again.
It never caught on either. So maybe there's a reason
for it. And it might be that exact reasoning, is that you know, things aren't as polished. And, for games that are releasing...
Lost Planet was really polished.
Was it? Okay.
Oh, yeah. I think that's what it was. Last time it won sold really well.
Well, it really depends on when the game's coming out. I mean, think about like the two demos that I talked about today. It was Valkyria Chronicles 2 and Phantasy Star Portable. Both of them were what was at E3, and neither of them have had any changes to them compared to what was at E3. But then again, those games are coming out very soon. So I mean,
well, Lost Planet was a good year and a bit beforehand, which is crazy.
Really?
That,
wow.
That demo for Lost Planet, the single-player demo, was out over a year before very close to a year before the game actually came out.
Okay. All right.
It was nuts. But I mean, then again, Capcom just might have just really locked it down. I'm like, you know what? We have confidence that this thing is, you know,
it's very possible that they put the time into, you know, into that demo because Microsoft approached them and told them that they wanted to do that with the demo.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's a lot of different, you know, aspects to it.
I think it would be
different
really
scenarios.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I can see why they wouldn't do it. But
yeah, I mean, if Mafia 2 really is a more polished demo, it's just the E3 demo with more polish on it. Then
that's what God of War 3 was as well, and that demo came out.
Yeah, Well, it had some extra stuff to it, but for the most part, but you know, think about what people would have thought about the demo if they would have gotten it at the time of E3. I mean, if it doesn't look as good, you know, what's the motivation to buy the game? You know, if they don't like the way it looks, then. And what's the motivation to download another demo that might have better visuals? You know,
true.
It's like, I downloaded it before and it looked like ass. I don't want to play it now. So, yeah, I mean, I can see the point in not putting those up there.
Do you really think, though, that they changed that much graphically, though, from demos?
I would think that not everybody does, but for a game like, like Splatterhouse, for instance. There was a playable demo of Splatterhouse there. Mm-hmm. The frame rate was ass. I mean, I wouldn't want to put that out there.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, they obviously need to polish that up more. but I mean, there's other demos there that did look good, like the Castlevania Lords of Shadow demo looked really good. I mean, that they could easily put that up on PSN right now, and it would work fine. But you know why they're not doing it, who knows? But yeah, I can see both sides of the coin. As a gamer, I would love to have those demos, but then again, those demos wouldn't tarnish my look at my view of the game. And then from the publisher's side, I can understand them not putting them out if there is a chance that the demo would tarnish the average Joe's view of the game.
Yeah. So the reality of Sigma's email is not as ideal as what I think he would want to hear. But the wishful thinking aspect of it, like, yeah, I would love. I mean, it sounds great. Like, demo at E3, you can play now and download it right now. Oh, that sounds great. But yeah, you do make a good point, Chris. Like, realistically, those games are just not ready.
Sometimes they are, but a lot of times you're looking at games that aren't coming out until 2011 sometime.
Yeah. And I'll be honest with you, I look forward to E3 because I'm pumped about downloading these videos that, you know, these really, really high res, really good looking videos that they're announcing new games and everything. And then boom, that night you can download the video that you just saw at the presser in high definition. I love that. Like, I'm so content just with watching a presser and being able to download all the best videos later. I love that.
Yeah.
So I'm actually fine with that. They just keep that going and I'm fine.
Cool.
But next year we'll be there. So
yeah, absolutely.
True. All right, how about slap us in the face with a VM?
I can do that.
Nice.
Hey, guys, this is Nabashin.
What's up?
Hey, how you doing? I'm enjoying Scott Pilgrim. You're not. Ha, ha, ha. But speaking on that, because I know you guys are pretty much, like, ripping in a new one and about, like, how difficult it is and stuff like that, and how cheap it is. So I was pretty much thinking, I'll ask you guys this. I mean, I'm not going to, like, discount because it's your opinion. I value opinions. You can have your opinion. And opinions are fine, so, you know, whatever. I'm not that type of person. Like, oh, you told bad stuff, don't come over, you shouldn't do that, blah, 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 blah. No, because I'm just that type of guy. You know, I kind of got mad at you last time. Let's get that hard.
And here comes the blah, blah, blah.
Anyway, so I want to know with you guys, what's the difference between, for you guys, like, in your opinion, what's the difference between cheap and challenging? Because I think challenging, as far as, like, you know, like, pretty much it's difficult and something that's consistent through the whole game. Like, you know, kind of like Demon's Souls. It's challenging from the beginning to the very end. So, you know, you could say that challenging and not cheap. And, you know, I kind of feel the same way about Scott Pilgrim. That's, like, challenging. And, you know, I mean, of course, I play better beat-em-ups, but, like, Castle Crash and stuff like that. But, you know, but still, I still enjoy it. And it's still one of my favorite games. That is my opinion, though.
you can have an opinion.
There you go.
Thanks.
But the way I see, like, cheap is something that just, like, totally just 180s you. Like, when you first play Super Street Fighter 4, pretty much everyone's consistent. Everyone's, like, same, like, you know, like, same kind of difficulty. So, like, then you get to Seth, and, of course, you have a quote-unquote boss character.
Yeah, that's cheap.
But he's so cheap with it, you know? He'll do shit out of nowhere. You're in mid-combo. He'll break out of there or something like that. Or even in Blaze Blue, where,
Or, like, snowballs off-screen.
When you fight Hazuma at the end, he's fucking cheap. And he pisses me on that priority kick him. Bullshit like that, but you know, those are fighting games, I guess you could say. But but you know, I'm just saying, like, different stuff like that. Like, what do you see as far as cheap, and what do you see as far as, like, challenging? But anyway, yeah, that was it. Oh, and by the way, the whole Scott Pilgrim thing, just to let y'all know, I was a fan before the game, before I was a fan before the books and the movie. So don't think it's like something like that. Like, I got the fan base in my head beforehand. But yeah, just saying. Okay, peace out, guys. Don't hate me. I like you. Okay?
Okay, man.
All right. You talked us into it. Good. We won't hate you.
Thanks, Napshin.
Cheap versus difficult.
I'm going to tell you what. There is a
good topic.
Is a topic right there.
There is a good topic.
That is a good topic, actually. Yeah. All right. So do we answer the question, or do we throw that out?
I think we should put that in our pocket and do it next month. So here's what's going to happen.
I have a lot to say on that.
Yeah, I do too. And you know, we can replay his voicemail on the show that we do the topic for.
Sure.
But like, what we're going to end up doing is the question of the week that was supposed to be this week. Next week is going to be our contest entry show, and I'll get to that later. But the week after that, so episode 144. Will be the swag question of the week. And everybody who sent in, like, I got a couple voicemails already. We got like 4 emails for it. You know, you guys, all your stuff will be played. And then any other stuff that gets put in, we'll play that too. And then, probably the week after that, we can do this topic. Cause I like this topic. I think it's a good one.
Yeah,
that is really good.
Cool.
Thank you,
Nabashin. Thank you very much. And
we should bring Jason on so he can explain why Ninja Gaiden is cheap, but Scott Pilgrim is not. Yeah, yeah, he comes in. Yet the exact complaints we had about Scott Pilgrim were the same ones we had about Ninja Gaiden.
we might have a new, if we do that, we might have an episode with the new record number of fucks. Confidence Man might have to get together with Jack Bauer to do the into stats on that one.
Yeah.
We can't count this hard.
4,879. All right, so yeah, we're going to keep that one. Thank you, Nabashin, and we'll get back to that at a later date. All right, cool. I have one more voicemail.
Right. Keep it coming.
It's time for another edition of...
Hey guys, what's going on? It's Ace High here. Oh.
I have to pause. I'm sorry. I'm not even listening now.
I did not see that coming.
Aces, I fucking love you, man. I fucking love you. You're awesome. That was hilarious.
Oh, fucking Aces, you kill me. Oh, man.
The next song Travis will be singing.
All right, let's get to these questions, shall we?
Okay.
Worse, with another edition of Random Questions. As you can tell by the intro song, this is all about assholes. I want to know a story of, like, you know, everyone has that one major asshole in their life. You know, everyone does. There's no excuse. If you don't, at the deuce, I'm going to punch you in the face. Not really. I wouldn't do that.
He's going to punch you in the asshole.
I want to know, give me a story of that biggest asshole in your life and tell me what they did to make them the biggest asshole. And you know what? If you don't have the answer to that question, I'll dumb it down a little bit and just ask you a regular question. What's your favorite cheese? Yeah, cheese. I had to go there because you can't think of answers.
Seriously, man, you and me, we're fucking done professionally.
You know I kid, guys. But on a side question, it's not really a random question from Aces High. Does anyone remember that girl that was working at North River Tavern for Indus Fest Bethany. 1? The girl that was hitting on everyone? She still worked there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, the Blade guys.
She wasn't hitting on everyone, son. She was hitting on me.
No, she was hitting on everyone, dude.
No, she was hitting
she
on
was
me,
hitting
dude.
On everybody, dude.
All right, she was hitting on you, Travis.
Thank you. I'm glad you
dude,
see
she wanted
way.
To go home with Project, man.
Yeah.
does she still work there? Yes, she does.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think so.
Damn, that's going to be awkward.
Awkward.
Yes, especially when you have to be like, you were going home with Project?
Oh, I'm just fuck. Saying.
You went out, man.
Oh, man. Favorite cheese. Let's do that first. It's easy. Maybe.
Favorite cheese.
Actually, you know what? I know it. I don't like it on everything, but I like it on like pasta dishes, but it's definitely my favorite cheese because you can make pasta really good with it. Feta. I like feta cheese. It smells like ass, but it tastes really good.
I'm used to like mozzarella or Parmesan on, you know.
I like mozzarella. Yeah, mozzarella's kind of a... It's you never had feta?
Not on, well, I have feta. It's not on pasta before.
On pasta?
Gotta like that Greek cheese on Italian dishes.
No, yeah. It's really, really good with... It's a good substitute for Parmesan. Okay. It's used on Mediterranean dishes as well, Greek dishes.
Yeah, I can see that.
Stuff like that. Yeah, it's really good.
I'm pretty simple. I like sharp cheddar.
I was going to say, I like cheddar's probably number one. Cheddar, if I'm making a sandwich, Swiss, but...
Yeah.
I like Swiss, yeah. That's Swiss good.
Ask this asshole one's going to be tough, because I have a lot of fucking...
My God.
I have a lot. I mean, I was...
We can make a topic out of this. I'm just kidding.
A lot of times, like, me and my friends, we were the assholes. Like, there was, like... Like, there was a, I got a funny little story. I mean, because like I said, we were the assholes. This is a story of what we did to someone else. There's a guy passed out. I'm pretty sure all the stories will start like this, but this guy passed out at a party, and he passed out sitting up in his chair. Well, how did it go? Well, anyway, he was sleeping. He was sitting, he was, like, sitting up, passed out, but his, like his chin was like dug in his shoulder, like he was like laying like that. Well, anyway, we took a vibrator that the guy whose party he just had a vibrator in his house. I guess it was his wife's or something.
Yeah, sure it was.
And stuck it like in the crease of his like arm to where like the dildo was kind of resting on his bottom lip, like standing up. And like we're sitting there and we're videotaping the whole thing and we're like giggling. And we're like, okay, he's not waking the fuck up. He's done. He's out. Like, lights out. Like, Timmy's story over. And the guy walks up to the dildo and flips a switch, and it's actually a vibrator. And the thing's like sitting there vibrating up against his face. And it was really, really funny. So we're sitting there laughing, but he's still like completely passed out. The next thing we know, the guy's cat jumps up on his shoulder and starts licking the damn thing, like, at the same time. And, like, the guy's out. And he never woke up once.
That's not right.
So, was it your vibrator, or...?
No, I'm serious. It wasn't even my house. Like, it was this dude's house. And we always brought a camcorder to... Like,
and
we brought
vibrator,
a camcorder...
Apparently.
No, we brought a camcorder to parties all the time, because if we knew someone was going to throw up, we had about a good, no lie, about 3 hours of video people wasted in throwing up.
Nice.
Over the span of like 6 or 7 years, like just going to those random parties, we always videotaped it. It was really, really good stuff. And then one time we put a cat shit in a Doritos bag, and the guy stuck his hand in. Like, what the
oh
hell
my
is
god!
That? Hey, I didn't tell you that story. That's
yeah,
right.
You told that story.
I don't think I heard that story.
Yeah, it was funny. I'm not going to tell though. It's a long story. But anyway, yeah, we were kind of the assholes. Do not fall asleep at Indusfest.
Yeah, I have a lot of stories of me being an asshole, or me and my friends being assholes, but there was this one asshole who, he didn't really do anything to me, per se, but, like, we went to elementary school with him, and then hung out with him. We had mutual friends throughout high school, even though we went to different high schools, but he was the guy who wanted to fight everybody, and no matter where he went. So, in elementary school, he was the guy who would find the most ridiculous reason to fight people. Like, I remember once we're all out for gym class, and the baseball diamond was right behind these houses, and there's, like, a fence. And we're all just chilling there, and this one guy goes, hey, Wes, what, fight Lloyd. And Lloyd is this guy who everyone used to pick on. So he's like, well, he didn't do anything. He's like, well, just whatever, we want to see you beat him up. And this is, like, probably grade 7. And all of a sudden, we're just sitting there, like, looking at this, like, you know, this by this fence, by the baseball diamond. And then Lloyd goes, hey, look at the dog over there in the corner. And then Wes turns low to him and goes, "What the fuck did you say about my mother?" And then just started wailing on him. What? And we're sitting there like,
"That's fucked up."
Yeah, exactly. And then, of course, when you get to the time when you're old enough to, like, to go to bars and stuff, and then he's the kind of guy who just gets really loud and wants to fight people. So, like, he's one of those guys you want to be on your side, but at the same time,
you don't want to go to the bar with him.
Yeah, exactly. Because you're like, "Oh, I know some shit's going to happen." He's just going to, yeah, it's just too much. I haven't seen that guy in a long time.
I love guys like that. Cool, cool fellas, man.
Cool fellas.
All right, I have two that I'm going to go through real quick. One is a guy that I don't know because it was on
Jeff
the road.
And Travis.
Yeah, Jeff and Travis. I was coming home from work one day, and there was this guy in front of me, and we're in a 40-mile-per-hour zone, and he's going like 30. All right, and it's a one lane, you know, well, it's a 2-lane road, so I can't pass him. The road opens up to where I can pass him, and I wait to see if he's going to get into the other lane. And when he doesn't, I do, and I speed up to 40. And then all of a sudden, like, you know, 20 feet before, after the lane opens up, he tries to pull over, realizes I'm there, and then swerves out. We both stop at the red light. Dude's in a Beamer, by the way. I think all Beamers are drivers are assholes. Sorry, but that's the way I am. He rolls down his window, and he's like, "You know, if you weren't following so closely, that wouldn't happen." And I turned around, and I looked at the guy, I said, "If you knew where the fuck you were going, that wouldn't happen." And then he's got, you know, I basically rolled up my window. He starts cussing me, and I'm like, "Whatever, you asshole."
You lawyered him, Chris.
I know.
You lawyered him good.
Lawyered him.
The other one is actually, I mean, these people are not assholes, but they like to play jokes like Travis did. And I was the one that fell asleep first at a party.
Oh, damn. I'm never the one to fall asleep first, so that's why.
Me neither.
Yeah, we went on a ski trip, right? Now, it was with people from work, and went on a ski trip. And I was watching, you know, we had just gotten to the point where we were chilling out, and I laid down on the couch.
They put a vibrator up your nose?
You put a vibrator, no. Laid on the couch, and I turned on Arena Football, and started watching and fell asleep on the couch.
That deserves some asshole abuse right there.
I woke up, finding the couch pulled out away from the wall, and all of a sudden they were like taking off somewhere. And I had no idea what was going on at this point. But I could see, like, you know how you can see the bridge of your nose in your, like, with your vision. And I could see that they had marked on my nose. I was covered in marker. So they had like, just like my arms, my legs, my nose. And then the reason the couch was pulled out is because they were apparently going to try and saran wrap me to the couch.
I would probably freak out if that happened. Not because of like they did it, just because if I ever woke up after being like drinking a bit, and you kind of like you don't really know where you are first thing when you wake up, and if I was like confined and like couldn't move, I'd probably just like lose it.
Yeah, as long as they didn't cover my face, it wouldn't have been a big deal. To me.
Well, I'm sure they wouldn't have covered your face.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they wouldn't have. But yeah, it was that was kind of funny.
See at your funeral.
They got it on video too, so that was fun. That was fun.
Yeah,
that was
I have a lot
of
stories. I think I told the one. I told the one when we drew a penis on this guy's face from work. He was a summer student. And yeah, that was awesome.
So if anybody out there is listening has the video of that of Chris being marked on with a marker, we will pay top.
I don't think anybody that was involved in that listens to this show, brother.
I'm just saying.
Hate to disappoint you, man.
Dude, it's the internet now, man. Someone just has to do like a quick Google search, and there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Saran wrap to couch. All right, cool. That's all the voicemails I got. You got anything else,
Thanks,
Travis?
Aces.
I'm all cleaned out, man.
Cool. Let's do a question of the week and get the hell out of here.
Word.
All right, next week we're doing our contest entries. And
we are.
Time for your $20 Amazon gift card. All you got to do is send us your application for a job at Indus Corporate Office. Can be any job you want to apply for. We don't have anything in mind. Just make shit up.
And we hire for everything.
That's right.
Everything.
Shit up. We want it to be funny. So that's your question of the week. What job are you applying for at Indus? And send us your resume. You can do that by sending us an email. That address is email@interactivedistractions.com. You can send us a voicemail. That number is 706-760-4337.
It's likely, but it is not.
You can follow us on Twitter. We are Indus Podcast. And individually, we are Indus Chris, Indus Travis, Indus Jason, and Indus Geoff.
That is G-E-O-F-F.
Good, Jeff.
Stop.
Good face.
Stop. I don't want to hear that no talent bullshit. All right.
Travis or
you trying to say I have
Gaga.
No talent? Come on, dude.
Travis,
fucking...
the fact that you made it through that entire song proves that you've got talent.
I gave you gold. Come on.
All right. So we have a Facebook group as well. It's Interactive Distractions Podcast. Cast Medium, go check us out over there. We are in the user submitted section, and I believe Travis, you've got something going on over there, don't you?
Yeah. Guys, we love you guys, man. Like, you know, granted, I was coaxing you guys with a treat at GameStop, but just the fact that you guys took the time and you know went on the site and said great stuff about us, we promise you, I myself personally am working for a means to an end with Cast Medium and you guys commenting and rating the show, please don't stop. Please do not stop this. The more you do it, the easier it's going to be for us to make this case to this group because, you know, us
we
being
like
affiliated
these guys.
With
Cast
them.
Medium
yeah,
pretty,
we like them a lot. And us being affiliated with them could be very, very beneficial for you, for us, because the bigger, you know, we can get things going with them, the more cooler things we can do for you guys. So keep it up, guys. We really appreciate it. I mean, love you guys so, so much. So come to the Deuce. I'll give you a big old hug for it. So
a tap on the butt.
A big old open hand slap on the ass. Why not? Yeah. Good game. Good game.
But watch out. Make sure he doesn't have a few first because that open hand turns into like a little cup.
Oh, God.
Saying.
There's a lot of love at the Deuce. I mean, do you want me to defend myself? I mean, there's a lot of love. Did you see us at MGC? It got a little weird. So
a little bit.
I'm kind of glad I missed that.
I blame Nico.
Of course.
He's a love conduit.
Now you see why.
Like when he's around.
That's why you see why the girl wanted to take him home. Travis.
That's right.
No, he's a conduit. That's what I'm saying. He spreads the love, and then she was macking on me.
I see.
What I'm saying.
I see.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway.
Cast
Medium. That's where we were going with that. Also, check out our forums at vgevo.com. Also, check out all the podcast networks over there, or all the podcasts in the podcast the network over there. We should also mention that the entire crew of Expletive Deleted is going to be at IndusFest. So, just want to give props to them.
Again.
I forgot to do it earlier. So, but that's all I've got. So, you guys have anything else before we wrap up and get the fuck out of here?
Don't think so.
Nothing.
Cool. Well, thank you guys for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please tell a few friends about us and leave us a review on iTunes or Zune Marketplace or Cast Medium.
Yeah.
So, until next time, my name is Chris.
I'm Travis.
And I'm Jeff.
Play your games. We'll talk to you next week.
PC's out. PC's out.